Blog Talk Radio.
Computer problems, I'm telling you. But I just want to thank everybody again for your time. Thank you for your time. Thank you for stopping by Five Smooth Stones to see what Brother Seth is talking about tonight. I'm going to get into the show, heavily into the show in a little bit. But before I do, I have to do some preliminary things I forget sometime. And that is to remind everybody to stop by our page, which is blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. In other words, after you go to Blog Talk Radio, you want to do, after the slash, 5 smooth stones with an underscore in the middle, in between the words. The reason why I'm directing you to that page is because there is some vital information on that page that you really should know. And that is, there is a link to the right of the profile picture. There is a link to my library. a library that I created to just for this purpose, and to, in other words, to refer people to. So it has a lot of the books. I'm not going to say all of the books that I have been blessed by over my lifetime, but it have a lot of the books that have helped me in some tremendous ways. I tried to think of some of the books that was the most impressive. Now, I must be honest, I haven't read every single book in that library. A lot of them, I just kind of, you know, certain chapters meant a lot to me, but I can recommend most of those authors. With regards to the subjects that I talk about most of the time on this show, we call those subjects five smooth stones. I can tell you this. Those authors in my library is going to take what I say to a whole nother level. So I just strongly recommend that everybody take advantage of clicking on that link and going to the library. Also, many of you keep telling me about how much you really like the show. You know, I get it in emails and you know, so I just want to just recommend something to all of you that say you like the show. When you like something and when you're getting something that benefits you and that's helping you in a very real, tangible way, the best thing you can do is show the people that you are enjoying this some kind of way. And my way is following the show. Some of y'all listen every single week and you do not follow the show. Follow the show means you go to the same front page I directed you to and you click on reminder. And it's going to send a reminder either to your cell phone, if that's what you like, or it'll send a reminder to your email letting you know that the show is on. Or you can just simply follow the show other ways. Whatever it says, it's been a while since I looked at the application, but I know there's different ways to follow the show. But that way we can stay in touch with each other because we got to build this nucleus. We call tonight's session the New World Watch Society. The New World Watch Society. Excuse me, New World Order Watch Society. The New World Order Watch Society. As many of you know, there is for sure a New World Order. We are already a part of it, unfortunately. I mean, hopefully you're not contributing to it or strengthening it, but most likely, if you live in America, for sure, you are contributing to this strong giant that is the that is diametrically opposed with the kingdom of the Most High, Yahweh. So what do? We are commissioned by the scriptures to learn and to be aware of the signs of the time, to know what's going on, know what prophecies is being fulfilled in our time, that we may know the times and the season when the Messiah will come to this earth and set up his millennial rule. We are required to know the dates, not the dates, but we're required to know the seasons. We're supposed to be vigilant and alert and aware. We don't go around worrying and stressing, and we're not supposed to, at least. We're just supposed to know truth and arm ourselves with truth, and this way we can defend against the enemy. We can help our family and our friends and those that listen. We can help many others. So our job as believers, because this show is primarily to those that fear the Most High, okay? If you don't fear the Most High and you're not trying to include him in everything you do, then I hate to say it, but you'll probably find the show very boring and irrelevant, because I'm telling you, folks, there is a society of people that are very serious. I'm talking about this New World Order. They're very serious about enslaving mankind for their own personal gain. They believe in Satan. They believe in Satan like we believe in the Most High. They worship Satan, but not like these little fake satanic churches. Not this fake stuff, everybody wear black. No, these people are just as committed to Satan as some of our ministers and some of our lay people are sold out to the Most High. I mean, these people, and there is so many records and documents after documents after documents of what I'm saying. It depends on who you want to hear from. Everybody has proof on this New World Order that is not coming. It's set up now. We're all, They're moving us all like cattle into just one dollar, one type of currency, and it's way bigger than the currency. Federal Reserve play a major part in it, okay? World Bank play a major part in it. IMF play a major part in it. United Nations play a major part in it. And, folks, we just got to know what's going on. It's just all there is to it. We got to know what's going on, else we're just going to be somewhere used, a slave, a robot. And I know y'all don't want people ruling you. I know you don't want to believe you're free only to find out years later that you've been a slave all your life and you never even tasted freedom. Wouldn't that be a tragedy that you live all your life and find out that your education was bogus, that your whole social, the way you look at socializing was all programmed? And I'm telling you, and a lot of you know this better than I know, a lot of you helped me see the light on this, but I'm telling you, we've been programmed. It's almost like, and this is going to be a lie I'm about to say, so I'm telling you right now it's going to be a lie. It's almost like this. Everything we ever been taught about everything is a lie. And that's not true. But that's closer to the truth, though, than what you think is truth. In other words, most of everything we've heard from infancy all the way up to adulthood have been programmed into us by some very powerful people, and it hasn't been the Most High. He is the only one that know who we are. He is the only one that know what we can do. He is the only one that know our purpose. He is the only one that know what we truly own, what talents and hidden skills we have. He really knows us. We've been programmed by racists. We've been programmed by ignorant people. We've been programmed by family members. We've been programmed by employees, employers. Everybody has been trying to get a piece of us. Everybody has been trying to get a piece of us in their own little selfish way. Sometimes even our spouses, our brothers and sisters, cousins, neighbors, everybody will tell you the truth to a certain degree. You can do something as simple as saying, how do I look today? Most people ain't going to tell you the truth. We're not programmed to tell you the truth. We're programmed to make you feel good. Very few people are going to tell you got a booger in your nose, or you stink, or you smell like pee today, or can you do something with those body odors, or you're lazy, or you don't want to work, you're our worst worker, or, you know, your wife is using you, your kids is using you. Very few people will be that bold to tell you the truth. Well, tonight, we have three brothers I'm going to bring on here in shortly, and I'm telling you, they're going to tell you the truth. I'm going to say that again. I got three strong brothers that we're going to bring on tonight, and they are going to tell you the truth about what's going on to the best that the Most High has given them. We don't believe no one person know everything. We're smarter than that. And Brother Joseph Johnson, y'all have been blessed by this brother. I know y'all have, because he is the most listened to show that I've done. A lot of people digging this brother. I mean, a lot of people
you know, are listening to and have expressed that he really holds his stuff. You know, oftentimes I'm talking to him, he's just going so fast, and I'll be like, man, you got to slow that down, because, brother, you're talking about some stuff we just never heard of. And as soon as I go research, because I research everything, I don't care how much I like somebody, I'm going to go research what they say, because a lot of times people, they care about you, but they don't always tell you the truth. I mean, they don't always know the truth themselves. We're in a maze, folks. We know in part, we see in part. So we're all learning. So I go and research Brother Joseph and find out that this brother is right on time. And lately, there's been other brothers that's been the exact same way. I'm talking about brothers like, y'all got to bear with me because I'm doing about four things here at one time. But Brother Balin Clark, who also has a blog, he'll talk about that when he comes on, but he's also a businessman, owner of Bark Solutions. He's going to be on the show tonight. This brother been studying the same topics we've been talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll talk about that here in a second, but the third brother we're going to bring on is going to be none other than Fortune 500. Now, I know if y'all been coming to Five Smooth Stones, y'all seen this brother comment in the chat room, and he sometimes call on the line. So he is no stranger to Five Smooth Stones. He's been around and doing his thing in the chat room, and like I say, a lot of times he'll come on the line. So these brothers are here today, and they joined me. I appreciate them. Last week, we had Brother Johnson on sharing like he do so well, and at the very end, there was a misunderstanding, which we expect that, and you should too when you're dealing with truth. There's always going to be misunderstandings, but the challenge is when the misunderstandings come, and they will, and they probably should, because we're dealing with spiritual warfare, and we're dealing with the evil one, and it's just one of those things we got to be alert and aware of. The enemy tactics. So I thought it would be a great idea to bring those brothers on with the misunderstanding. That way y'all can see how we roll here over at Five Smooth Stone. We are one. We are one. We are not about to let the enemy get the victory in nothing we do. So I said, you know what? Why don't both of y'all, we got on the conference call and we talked, ironed out our little misunderstanding, and they agreed to just do the show tonight, the three of them. So the three brothers with the misunderstanding is doing the show tonight. So I'm not going to hold out any further. I've talked about the library. Please go there and check out these books, because what these brothers are going to be talking about, again, the subject they'll be talking about will probably be in the library as well. Because I've talked with these brothers, I know where they stand on some of this. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, but now one more thing. Before I do, anybody that want to call in and you want to comment, again, you know to press 1 on your phone, but I want to say this. We'll try our best to take every single question or brief comment, but with three very smart individuals on this show tonight, it may be a challenge. So I'm just going to ask you to be patient. If you raise your hand, please don't give us 3 minutes to get to you. Raise your hand, folks, and we'll get to you. We will get to you, okay? Just wanted to say that because it's going to will be a challenge tonight with four people, including myself, on the line. It will be a challenge, okay? So and we'll also try to get to any of the comments in the chat room as well. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and just let these brothers do their thing. All right. Now, let's first see who we got here. Okay. My brother, are you on the line? Who am I speaking with? This is area code 856-676.
Yes, this is Fortune 500.
Okay. Fortune 500 has checked in. And I think this is Brother Joseph Johnson. Brother Joseph, are you there?
Peace, Brother Seth. Brother Fortune 500.
Okay,
how's it going,
all right.
Seth?
And last, Brother Balin has checked in. Are you there, Brother Balin?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today? Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, so shalom brother, to you, shalom. My brother, and welcome the three of you to the show tonight. And I was just telling the people that we had the little short misunderstanding, and I thought I'd make the enemy a liar and just invite the three of y'all to come on. We had such a good time talking after that misunderstanding. So I thought it would be a great idea to bring y'all on and let y'all just share. And I want the people to see the kind of people we have calling the show. I think y'all will enjoy this. I think what we're going to do is just go ahead and let each one of y'all just kind of, why don't you give up just a, you know, give a few minutes talking about who you are, how people can get a hold of you, just in case we forget it a little later on when we get all caught up in the conversation. But let people know exactly who you are. I mean, how they can contact you if they need to contact you for any reason. And we just do about 5 minutes of just an intro of each other. Why don't Brother Fortune 500, you go first, and then Brother Balin, and then Brother Joseph.
All right. First, before I start off, I'd like to give thanks to the Most High for breathing life, the breath of life into me, and making me a living soul. I'd like to also thank Brother Seth for giving me this opportunity to speak on this platform. And I also would like to thank the listening audience for bearing with me for the short amount of time that we actually have. Okay. Like Brother Seth said, my name is Fortune 500. I have a talk show on Blog Talk also. The name of the show is the 500 Talk Radio Show. The reason why I felt as though my show is actually going to premiere within the next couple of weeks, and the reason why my show, to me, is so important is because my show is about critical thinking. And using the lost skills that we've had, because most people do not use critical thinking in their thought process whatsoever. Most people go off strictly off of emotion. And we should all know by now that emotion and logic cannot exist in the same place at the same exact time. Okay, now, by using that premise, we can start to logically think about what's happening. And I understand that there's a lot of brothers out there that are pointing out certain situations that are happening. For example, the World Trade Center, the Internal Revenue Service. And we can go on and on. I mean, the list is long. And all these things are very important, that these are actually called triggers. Okay? And with these triggers, every single time something happens major, that should be a trigger for someone somewhere on this planet to wake up. All right, that's a trigger for people to come into consciousness, to wake us up. Okay? But we have to start to understand that if we do not use critical thinking, we're only going to act off of emotion. And with emotion, once emotion gets involved, all right, we tend not to make the correct choices. So my show, like I said, is based on critical thinking. It's trying to restore that. This is a platform. The reason why it's so special is because my show is not strictly for Hebrew Israelites. It's not strictly for Christians, Jews, or whatever sect you're from, whatever religion you're from. It's not for black, white, or anything in between. It's for everybody, okay? And we have to start to understand that with these triggers going on, actually the reason why most people are actually on Seth's show, just like they're going to wind up being on my show, is because the number one thing, you realize something is wrong. You realize something is wrong. So we're going to start from that. And everyone should have a voice on my show. Everyone should be able to express their opinion. I don't care whether or not you have a doctor's degree or whether or not you only have a sixth grade education. Because everything boils down to perspective. And it doesn't mean that because someone dropped out of school, that shouldn't mean that they shouldn't have an input. We're all learning. I'm still learning myself. And one thing that we're not going to tolerate on my show is arrogance. This is a place for us to grow and build. Think of it almost as a think tank. And we have to be able to move to this next step of creating a think tank for ourselves so we can start to put all the rubbish behind us. Because if you ask a Christian whether or not they feel as though a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Jew is correct, they're going to tell you that they're wrong. And you can go to every single one of these people and you can ask them the same exact question and they're going to tell you that the other is wrong. So why would they say that? Because it's based upon belief. And belief is not based upon
Brother
fact.
Portion, Brother Portion, Brother
yes.
Portion, listen.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Somebody has a speaker on in their home. Somebody have us on speaker. If you're on the phone line, you can't have the speaker on. It's feedback from one of you, brothers. So if you've got a speaker on the background, turn it off. You can't do that. It's going to give you feedback. So go ahead and wrap it up. I appreciate those words. And then we're going to hear from Brother Balin. Go ahead and wrap it up.
All right, sure. I hope that everyone receives the information that I was just giving them. So what I'm trying to say is this, that my show is very important because it's going to create a platform for everyone. Everyone to speak so we can start to solve these problems, so we can start to come up with solutions to these problems. Like I said, critical thinking is an art form. It's truly an art form, which we have lost today. I also sit on the board of the Hebrew Council meeting. The Hebrew Council, and that is an international group. We're located in the United States, Europe, and also in Africa. I'm going to wrap it up because I don't want to, you know, try to talk too much or take time from anyone else.
Okay, well, listen, Brother Balin, I want you to go ahead and slide in there, please, and give us an intro on everything. If you can, around 5 minutes, if it's possible. Let people
okay,
know.
Okay, how's
like
my sound?
Like Brother Portion did, let everybody know how to get a hold of you, what's going on, what a little intro of yourself, if you don't mind.
Okay, my name is Balin Clark. I own a company called Clark Solutions. Basically, my company deals with community development, self-awareness, self-promotions. The basis of my business is basically, you know, it starts with you. And, you know, a lot of times I feel that people get lost and they have a hard time identifying who they are. I feel I'm a professional in this field because I've studied the course and I've also lived the life. I started doing research on myself at a very, very young age. I've been studying history and religion and culture, I guess for over, I could say almost over 20 years. I got into it when I was 10 years old. I got the message in the church and some of the stuff that they were telling me didn't necessarily sound too correct to me, too kosher, as the Jews would say. So I had to go start hunting some of this information out. So I've basically been studying this information, you know, since I was 10 years old. I got into the Kabbalah, and I got into several avenues of faith and understandings that I ain't feel too particularly comfortable with, but my search has always been basically for the truth. I've always helped people, and that's what made me start my business. The motto of my business is helping you help yourself. I'm just saying all that to say, you know, that's basically been my background and where I've came from and the information that I've gathered. Throughout the years and gathering my information, after a while, you start putting pieces together. I'm a jack of all trades, master of a few. So I've studied quite a bit of different philosophies, different sciences, different thoughts of understandings from Western to the Eastern philosophies. I studied a little bit about the Arabia Peninsula and because of their advancements and how they brought a lot of knowledge to the Western front. And so in studying these things, and especially having a loving history, you know, I come across things. And, you know, you hear about these things in future reference and the things that I learned about it, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, these things aren't matching up. And then you start seeing patterns and you start seeing certain, you know, avenues. And when you start reading authors like L. Ron Hubbard and you start finding out about, you know, different philosophies and sciences with behind the core of things, you start finding out that religion is really just the mask that they use. You start seeing, like, wait a minute, you know, why are there 250 different religions in the world? Why do they all call them different gods? You start seeing the bigger picture. And I've never, because I didn't have an identity, I never really held to an identity. So I've studied across the board. I didn't just come from what I like to call pride ego. A lot of times we get caught up on who we are and what we are, and so we learn things in a fashion that gives us an understanding about who we are, but we don't know about anybody else. And basically, just to bring you up to date, I've now, a lot of the research that I've done, I've put on my website, Bark Solutions, The Wake Up, where I provide a lot of the information, a lot of the research that discusses aliens, discusses history, discovers the actual theory of the evolutionist. You know, Darwin came out with this theory, but he wasn't actually a person that actually studied it. He's the person that, you know, just like the Spaniards discovered America, it always existed here. It's just now we have the understanding that this is American, that anybody that lives here happens to be American, whether you're American Negro, American Indian, American Spanish, American Canadian, whatever you may be. If you live in this soil, you're now American. So this is just a little idea of how concepts and thoughts come into you. I have a show on Blog Talk Radio that deals with that. It's called Thought and Thinking, and it gets you into the deeper meanings. The show is actually, my series is called Thought and Thinking, but the show is called Behind the Veil, because I like to bring out a lot of the things that they show you on the surface, but they don't show you the things that are going on behind that veil. I want to give Brother Johnson an opportunity to introduce himself. You know, you guys will find out a lot more about me as we go along into the discussion.
Well, appreciate that, Brother Joseph Johnson. Go right ahead. Everybody knows you, but those of you that, the few that have joined us that don't know you, tell us a little bit, please.
Peace for yourself, Brother Fortune 500 and Brother Bot Solution, peace, and to everybody that's in the chat and on the line, peace. I would like to start out, you know, y'all heard my introduction, you know, over the last 5 weeks and everything. But my first awakening happened when I was a little boy witnessing my grandfather cry. That's a strange, I really can't, you know, describe it, but it was very weird watching your grandfather cry. And what he was really stressing was, you know, the next war would be on American soil. And as time went on, and I got a little older, I started seeing and started hearing, and that what put the hook in my nose. And I've been on it ever since, you know. So with that, we can begin the show. Peace.
Well, appreciate that, y'all, your brothers. I told y'all that we would have some brothers on that were not just some people that sit around and like to talk about what's wrong with the world, some conspiracy nuts, but some good people, some law-abiding citizens, businessmen, scholars, and they don't like to call themselves scholars. A few of these brothers, I know at least two of them, maybe three of them, don't even like the limelight. They really don't. They just don't seem to want to push themselves out there and be, you know, and that's a good thing, because so many people today, and it could be all three of them like that, but so many people today are seeking a limelight. So I just welcome them to the show, and I want to do this. One more thing, now that they've introduced themselves and they kind of got into what I'm about to do next,
I want them to take another 5 minutes and just let everybody know, what is it that's troubling you? What is it you want to tell everybody, but you got to do it in 5 minutes? And then after everybody has done that, we'll pick and choose what are those subjects we'll talk about tonight. Okay? All right, so again, what I'm asking of y'all is, you've just told everybody who you are and how to get a hold of you. You kind of got into a little bit about what we're going to do next, but that's okay. So I'm going to do it the reverse way. I want Brother Joseph to go first, because he went last. And I want Brother Balin to go second, and then Fortune 500 last. Sharing, what is it you want to tell these people? What is it that you know for sure is about to go down? I mean, you know, you put your life on it. You've researched this. Now, I know there's a lot of things you may have not researched in detail, but I mean, what do you know for sure that you would like to warn the people? This is the New World Order Watch Society. We are checking out, we're eyeing this New World Order. We're looking at these vicious people that's trying to duplicate the kingdom of the Most High. They are arch enemies of the true church. What do you see coming up on the front, coming up on America or on a global scale that is dear to your heart? 5 minutes. Go, Brother Joseph.
Okay, Brother Self. Grabs my attention is 60 miles south of Laredo, Texas. That is a reality. You have a big Chinese military base down there in Juarez, Tamaulipas, Mexico, ran there by Brownsville, Texas. And the source is Alexander Backman. You can go to John Moore, RBN Live, click on the archives, and tune in to John Moore, click on the second app, and you will hear the whole interview. And that corridor, the superhighway, I believe with everything in my soul and spirit that the invasion going to come through that corridor, because if you've been reading the news, we have, 270 states. Now, China going to have a free trade zone. And,
now, hold on. Let me interrupt you just real quickly. What do you mean 270 states? I'm sure you threw everybody when you said. What do you mean?
270 metropolitan cities. And they're going to have 50 acres of land in those 270 acres. I mean, let me take my time. They're going to have 50 acres of land within them 270 metropolitan cities around the country. And people, believe me, when these white folks see this Chinese invasion coming through their country, it's going to be on. That's a reality. And the second one is that, you know, we no longer live in a de jure type of a system. Everything is de facto. Everything. You know, these people own it all. You know, they done gave us two world wars.
To those people that don't know what de facto means, let them know what de facto means.
A hostile takeover, you know, pure hostile takeover, you know. And the book speaks about, you know, how Jesus said, watch and pray always, you know, that you be found worthy to escape this coming destruction. And that's all I'm doing. I'm watching, you know. And watching this man, so I can measure time. Time is to be measured, but how do you measure time? By watching this big machine do its thing, and that's all I'm doing, you know. And I'm watching, you know, what's gonna come from the south of the United States. You know, and you have all kind of foreign nationals in this country, you know. You even have North Korean soldiers over here, you know. Foreign police, you know. But the whole thing started with Operation Bridge. They showed us this on Cops back in the 80s, you know. And this is how things was coming to me, you know. Operation Bridge, you know, they were bringing the Russians over here, the Chinese over here, and they working with our police, and our police going over there working with them, and, you know, them the things that I've been looking at, and since the Cold War been over, you got the CIA all over this country, you know, okay. They allowed to be, you know, working at McDonald's, street sweeping, you know, they all okay. Over. That's why the FBI don't like them, because they done infringed on some of their operations, you know. But
okay.
The CIA,
all right.
all over the United States.
All right, Brother Joseph, as y'all can see, these brothers, they are loaded. And as Brother Joseph, you know, he always got a lot to say, and that's a good thing. So we're going to tap into that knowledge here in a little bit later. But right now, I want to hear from Brother Balaam. Brother Balaam, 5 minutes. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Wow. I was sitting there. I started writing when you mentioned that to me earlier, and I had to stop. And I'm sitting here, and as he was talking, I went to my Google Documents, and I looked at some of the documents that I've downloaded, like the social implication of nanoscience and nanotechnology. The National Federation, heavy metal toxics, the PDF form, the surface of Mars, crew design, NASA's implication for outward sourcing. These are just some of the documents. These are just some of the documents that I've Googled down, that I've went on the internet. He asked me, where can I get my references? I said the Bible, Science Journal, the encyclopedia, NASA.com, the history books, blogger.com, because the information is out there. They're giving you the information. They're letting you know what's going on. You could sit there and you could listen to Alan Watts all day, but if you think about what really happened at the Tea Party, these people took on somebody else's identity and created a mass revolution. That's what they did. So if you want to keep on listening to people like Alan Watts, that's what they're preparing for. They're preparing for a mass revolution under the disguise of somebody else, because that's what the original Tea Party was about, dressing up like Indians, raiding the ships, and turning them over so Britain, so that they could get rid of taxing, so they could start taxing people themselves. You know where taxing comes from? Taxing comes from usury. It's the usury fashion. It's the fashion of building on somebody else's hard work. We can go back to the Bible and understand why that's a no-no. You know what I'm saying? All you have to do is you have to add these things up. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what my show's about. That's what I'm about. On the wake-up page, I have giants in all over the world. The archaeologists in the last 3 years have been discovering the fact that there have been there are locations of giant fossils. They have tested it. They have the DNA of men. These things are out there. We already know that they've been lying. We already know that the Pope that's in existence now, that exists now, is the same bishop that existed in Nazi Germany and that wanted that approved killing the Jews. Now he's the top man. We can see it plain as day as his soldiers are slowly raping boys. We can see the collapse of the Council of Men that is written about in the Bible.
Okay.
It's
my goodness,
day.
Man. I mean, you kind of called me off guard there. I mean, I try to keep up with a lot of this stuff, but you've mentioned about four or five things I've never heard of, and that is a new one for me tonight. So, brother, I definitely got to check out your blog and see what's up. I really appreciate the research you put into that. I really do. So as I said tonight, folks, sharp people that love the Most High, that love His Word, and that love people, and that's trying to warn us. Again, not some people just looking for something to argue and debate about. You can tell by all this research that that's beyond that. There are some people out there that just like to sit around and talk about all the bad things, talk about the white man, and talk about, you know, they just like hype. But there are some people out here that know some things, that are looking into the scriptures even, among other things, because truth can be proven more than one way. Nature even cries out, as Romans said, that there is a God or Elohim. So the scriptures bears witness, in which we look to that mostly. It's the way. It is for sure a way to know the will of the Most High. The Holy Spirit is another one. Science is another one as well, as long as you don't have racist people interpreting it. So, Brother Balin, I appreciate your research. Let's go ahead and go to Brother Fortune 500, and then after this brother share what's on his mind for the 5 minutes, we're going to get off into this talk. So, Brother Fortune 500, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. First, I'd like to also say that I agree with both these brothers 100%. The question that was posed to me was, what was on my mind, what bothers me? And there's so much on my mind. There's so much that bothers me today. I do not have any notes. I do not have my research in front of me. If I did, I'd be here all day switching back and forth, going to different areas of research that I've done. So I'm just going to speak strictly from my soul. And the number one thing, I believe that Brother Balin touched on it a little bit, but the number one thing that bothers me is that our people in general, our people are always looking to be led. We're not looking to learn. We become parrots. When we really look at the spectrum of where we're at, there are no black leaders. Because if there were black leaders, we've been having leaders, black leaders, since the time of slavery. All right? Now, I'm not trying to call out any one so-called leader right now when I say this. But we have to understand that certain people are put in the place to become relief valves. If we truly had black leaders, we'd be a lot further than where we are today. And I'm going to tell you something else. No freedom fighters, all right, ever get the spotlight, the spotlight is held by the system. These are all release valves, all right? If there were black leaders, they would be teaching. We need black teachers, not leaders. Because once you get rid of the leader, what happens to the sheep? We all run astray. And this is something that's been happening time and time again. Whenever you go through history, look at the 60s movement. What happened to everybody? What happened? You know, they started pushing drugs in the community. They got a lot of these Black Panthers hooked on drugs. They put them in certain situations. And once that leadership falls, what happens to our people? I'll tell you exactly what happens to our people. Go to the hood. If you're not living in the hood, all right, go to the hood. If you're living in the hood, look through your window. What was all this for? This is another thing that I constantly speak to my father about. The 60s movement, the ball was dropped. The ball was seriously dropped. Okay, so like I said, I'm a little bit jumping from place to place because, like I said, it's so much that bothers me. But let me get back on topic about leadership and the reason why it's becoming a problem, because we're taught not to think for ourselves. We need to start seriously thinking for ourselves, because, brother, as long as we're sharing information, if somebody knocks me off, you already have the information. You already have the information. So there's no killing it. That's going to continue to grow. But what happens is that, and we're not just talking about our black leaders, we're not talking about civil rights leaders. We're talking about our churches. We're talking about our representatives that's in government, all the way up to the president. We constantly look for others to do for ourselves rather than for us to do for ourselves. And that is the problem. We're taught how to think, how to act. I mean, once it comes down to a point to where someone controls your income, controls your thought, and controls your food, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And this is where we're already, this is where we're at right now. We have the genetic modified seed. It only gives one harvest at a time. And they're moving it to where you can only buy it from the government. What does that tell you? All these things are genetically modified. All of our food. They don't have to tell us that we're eating a genetically modified cow or genetically modified chicken. You know, we are all wards of the state, and it shouldn't be that way. We should control this government. We're underneath this false belief that this is a democracy. This is not a democracy. It's not ran by the people. We pick the people to represent us. Then once those people get into office, then the lobbyists come in. And this is the reason why we keep falling into this trap, because we go by what is told to us rather than us going out there and learning from our mistakes. You know, I once asked a brother one time, who were they going to vote for in the election? His response to me was, well, we know they're all crooked, so I'm just going to vote for the lesser of two evils. How much sense does that make? Think about it. And I'm sure we all heard of that before. How much sense does that make? It makes no sense whatsoever. But we've been programmed to behave this way. We've been programmed to, no matter what, play the game. Why would we play a game that is automatically set up for us to lose? I mean, these are things that we all need to think about. These are things that keep us enslaved. And when I say that we're behind enemy lines, I'm not talking about land. I'm talking about we're way behind enemy lines because of our way of thinking. Because of our way of thinking. That's what puts us so far behind enemy lines. Because we're so afraid of going against the norm. I mean, if you turn on the TV right now, I remember when I was a kid. I'm 38 years old. But I remember when I was a kid, okay, and the news came on. It was something that was impartial. You know, now you turn on the news, and they give you what you're supposed to think. If somebody comes on and go against that newscaster's point of view, they're called every name in the book, and we fall for it. I mean, how much sense does it make? This is something people that we have to start waking up. This is not just a physical thing also. We have to understand that this is a spiritual thing.
Yeah,
okay? This is a spiritual thing. And the reason why I say it's such a spiritual thing is this, is that on a physical plane, you cannot kill the spirit. You cannot kill the spirit. The same thing that Bush's father said, talking about us moving into a new world order, all right, is the same exact thing his son said. That's the spirit that I'm talking about. What is driving that spirit? What is driving that force? We're not talking about individuals here. Because if someone would, the minute that Senior Bush said, you know, we're going to move into the new world order, God forbid, because I do not condone violence, but God forbid, if someone blew his head off right then and there, you think that would have stopped the process? So let's stop going after individuals. Let's start thinking for ourselves. All right? Let's start matching up this spiritual
right, portion.
Yes.
The portion?
Okay.
I know you can go,
right,
but I want to mouth.
I'm sorry, brother.
It's all right. Listen, we got, I appreciate that, and I just hope everybody caught that. So, y'all, as you see, we asked the question, what's on your mind? What's pressing on your spirit more than any other thing? They've shared. You see where these brothers come from. Now, there's a whole lot of things in their head, but the question was, what's pressing? What's the most pressing? And I feel you, brother, Fortune 500 on that. I'll say this one thing about the state of our people. Yeah, it is pretty sad how we, you know, I think of what some Al Sharpton said, and I saw somebody was dogging him out in the chat room. But, you know, these brothers, you got to live in their shoes, man. You know, I don't know what the CIA is telling Al Sharpton behind closed doors.
I don't know what these people, if I sit up on certain shows and can't keep a steady phone line and keep going through computers, I know how to get rid of bugs and stuff from my knowledge of computers, but I'm always erasing my hard drive. And I know why. You can imagine what people like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. So, yeah, I kind of got a little funny, a comment made about Al Sharpton, and even Obama. But we got to be very wise. And then I want to say this. Yes, I believe Obama was picked by the powers that be all day long. And I know me and Brother Joseph, we talked about this, and so he ain't trying to hear nothing about no Obama, and he probably getting ready to say something. That's cool. I want him to say something. But what I want to say is, folks, do y'all know how much pressure these people are under? Supposing somebody walk up to you and say, "Do you love Sasha?" That's President Obama's daughter. And Obama would say, "Of course. Listen, if you want your daughter to live, you're going to do this, and we know exactly where she at all time. We know Michelle. Now, Obama, you either march to our drum beat, or we're going to take care of you. You know we'll do it." I mean, and they can just simply take out his cousin, say, just to show you how serious we are, you know, you're going to be missing somebody very soon. You know, cousin, we don't know what they go through. I'm just making this up, but we don't know what these people go through. And if we think they're going to go out there and be a Farrakhan in office, and I know some of y'all ain't like him, and just go in there and just make everything black, and come on, you got white people you got to be president over too now. If you just go off in there and say, "We just going to be caring about my own people, and I'm going to stay true to this, and to hell with everybody else," come on now. I mean, for real, for real. Do you really think millions of white people are going to sit up and let that happen? Jesse is Uncle Tom, as some of y'all may think he is, and I don't think I think Jesse sitting there and took a long, hard look. Is it worth it? Would you do it for your family? Would you right now, anybody that's got something to say about Obama, I'm going to pose this question to all three of y'all. This will be our first question of the night. Obama, President Obama, please respect me and call him President. Everybody want to call him Obama. If we said President Bush, we can say President Obama. Would you, if you had the opportunity to be president, knowing you're going to, it's a death sentence to walk off in there and tell them white people to go to hell, "I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get rid of the Federal Reserve because I know y'all funding the New World Order," to march down to the UN and tell them, you know, "Y'all ain't going to be our little pimp, our little prostitute no more. We're going to have a strong UN. It's going to be for people and for this, for the world, true UN, not no little girlfriend of the United States, some little hoe, a whore." I mean, would you really carry this big stick, so to speak? So I'm going to start this question to Brother Baylor. What would you do with your family up in the White House? I mean, I know y'all ain't trying to hear
Obama. The only thing I can say, and I don't even mean to rhyme on this one, but the only thing that I can say is JFK. If the Italian boy can do it, so can I.
What do you mean he did?
He wasn't standing for it. There's the thing that Jesus
Keep in mind you're talking about a white man with a whole lot of white friends, hold on, that love his white skin. Now, you're going to sit and put a black family in there, a black grandma in there.
I already had the answer for that. Yahshua told us that it would cost us our life come the end days. Didn't he already said that? Didn't he already share with us that it would cost us our lives when it came down to it? Basically they give the illusion that they'll be chopping off our heads. It'll be a matter of losing your head. The same thing that they did back in Europe, when you had to decide whether or not you were going to follow them. The way that they acted in the Crusades, it was going to cost you your head, and a lot of those people lost their head.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I want you to be very honest.
Wow, is that?
All right, now, Brother Joseph and Brother Fortune 500, y'all listen to this question, I'm going to ask you the same question. Now, I've actually asked two questions, so I owe the other two of y'all two questions. But my question to Brother Balin, since he jumps out here and saying it can cost you your life, and he's right, Messiah did say that, would you right now in your life pay that cost? If you was president, if you had the opportunity to be president tomorrow, could you, are you in the spiritual condition right now, do you sacrifice that enough to do that yourself?
I'm going to answer it this way. I'm absolutely nobody, and at any moment they can come and take my life, and it wouldn't matter to nobody. And I still do it. Yes, I would do it. Now, he did it. Now, I heard his little, I put a quote on here, but I'm one to say, you know, I don't. If I type it, if I put it down on paper, it's my word. So I'm going to say what I wrote on there. He admitted a lot in his little big, he said a lot of big words in his little wine, I mean speech, that he gave to us the other day. Now, in the conclusion that I drew from that, and as everybody has been watching the timeline, that he's basically throwing his hands up and saying that there's nothing that I can do. I've tried my best to give you this change that I've been talking about. Now, he threw his hands up, and he said it. He had a little, almost you could see the tears in his eyes. He looked so sad. It's the first time in any of his speeches I've ever heard him stumble, except for arguing with that lady down in, I think that was Georgia, about the health, his new health reform, and she kind of stopped him in his tracks, and he got mad and went on to the next question. That's the only other time that I've seen him stumble. But he stumbled on national TV in his speech because he had to come out there and choke up his words like, well, they got it. I can't do nothing about it.
Okay, hold on. Well, let's do this. That's pretty strong, my brother. I ain't going to lie. What you just said is pretty strong. If you really meant that from the heart, you on another league. I can't say that I would do what you just said. If I had the opportunity to be president, then we're going to ask Brother Joseph Johnson and Brother Fortune 500, same two questions. If I had the opportunity right now to be go to the White House, I will probably not do a good a job as President Barack Obama. Because I'm not about to put my family in harm's way for 300 million folks that I know ain't going to appreciate. Black people turn on you. They don't give you but 3 seconds. I mean, I understand the black man and the thing he's doing, but I just feel like a lot of y'all just ain't giving the man no mercy. This is just me. I just feel like if Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, went in there and just screwed up for 4 years, straight. Black folks shouldn't say nothing. Let the white people complain. I know that I may sound a little whatever right now, but I feel like you done had, 50, 65 presidents that have just, you know, a lot of them were good. But after Bush did what he did, this man went and got health care, he's trying. We don't know how many death threats or how close they've gotten to killing it. We don't know the real deal behind the security on Barack. You know, all we hear about is, I mean, I'm thinking, what do we want? I mean, for real, what can this man do that's going to make shut up white folks and black folks? I think, I'm beginning to think he shouldn't have ran, because I feel like the Most High needs to do to America what he say he's going to do to America and let this whore fall. Let this whore do what all other whores do. Or let this whore wind up what all other whores wind up, and that is on her back. I love this country to some degree, but I hate this country to some degree, and I have the right to do that because I, too, am a citizen. So I just feel like it can't be that bad. It just can't be that bad. If you look at this man Bush and all of the millionaires, if not billionaires, he have made and is going to make, he set up his boys in Iraq, set up a serious regime, and called thousands upon thousands of people to die in a senseless war, and just, I mean, they talk about money, big government. We've always had that richest 1% of the United States benefiting welfare, corporate welfare, so to speak. Now this man jumps in there and starts trying to help a few poor people, and they want to start crying, oh, he's big government. All right, that's Brother Seth's take on it. Brother Joseph Johnson, President Barack Obama, two questions. Same two questions to you.
Well, first, if I knew the truth, I'd make a stand.
If you knew the truth, you'd make a stand.
Yeah. See, that's what it all boils down to. You know, if you don't know the truth, you ain't got nothing to stand on.
Do you think he know the truth?
He don't care. Yeah, he know the truth, but he don't care, you know.
No, hold on. Why do you say he don't care?
He know he been chosen since he was probably a teenager. He been groomed a long time ago, and he been conditioned and brainwashed. What that saying is, the ends justifies the means. You know, we got to do a lot of cruel things, but in the end, it all gonna iron itself out. You know, this is the true agenda.
So here's a question to you. If you had the opportunity, take your wife and to march right into the White House, Oval Office, and you know that not just the white people outside the gate and some black people too, but the old people that guard you wouldn't even let you see a good week. I mean, Elijah Muhammad said something, and I don't always agree with him because he believed in hating white people, and I definitely don't believe white people is no devils and all that stuff. Act like the devil, some of them, yes, but not the devil. I don't believe that. We don't subscribe to that here at Five Smooth Stone. But one thing the man said was, that I felt was premium wisdom. He said, you just can't go out there with a loud mouth with white folks saying all your feelings. They just get rid of you. You won't be around and help nobody. You've got to be very wise. Now, again, he's thinking they're the devil, though. But it can be applied even to wicked people, wicked black people as well. You don't just go before your enemies and say, this is what we're going to do, daggone it. I don't care who like it. You can't do that. You can't be like Venus and Serena Williams in tennis. We don't care what the dress code. This ain't tennis. This is President of the United States. This man have got to be very careful. He cannot say one word that's too black. That's why he disowned his pastor. It could have caused him the presidency. Yeah, he believed like his pastor, but he couldn't come out and say that. That's why he won't meet with Farrakhan in public. That's why he won't meet with certain political activists or certain civil rights activists. They're too pro-black, and he's got to be like the middle of the road. That's what it takes to be a black man in the White House. Now, you can be a Bill Clinton and go off in there playing your sax and being black and everything cool, but when you're a black man, we ain't never had this before, y'all. You just can't go off in there like y'all saying. That's my two cents.
Well, see.
Brother Fortune, go ahead and wrap it up. Brother Johnson, I'm on here with Brother Fortune. They're going to come back to y'all.
You know what, see, you know, Obama, he knows the whole protocol of this thing, you know. Cause look at South Africa. He know what it's all about, you know. He can say what he want when he want for real. Can't nobody touch him for real. Look at South Africa now. They took that power from the white people and ran their butts up out of that with nothing but the shirts on their back. All that power them white folks had down there. And that's the same thing they're going to do to these white folks here in the United States. The only difference is that these white folks got guns and they gonna pull the trigger. And see, Obama was put in there to neutralize black people and rub it in the face of white people. These are some shrewd people. We can't imagine how they think. They think years and years ahead of us. You know, these same people that gave us two world wars, you know. They kill heads of states, you know. Kill people by the groves. You know.
Well, Fortune 500, weigh in. Then we got a caller that's got a question. I see your hand,
right.
Caller. Just give him a minute. We're going to let Fortune do his thing, and then we'll get to this caller with the question.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, hold on, let's do this, because this caller may have a question to somebody that just spoke. Let's do this. Let's see what the question is, and Fortune, we'll get to you. Actually, we got two hands up now.
Okay.
Area code 817-353. Sorry about the delay. We'll go ahead and get your question in, and Fortune, we'll get to you, believe me. So let's see who this is. 817-353, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
You guys hear me? Okay, I just wanted to make a quick little comment here because I'm listening in. I've been listening in for probably about a week now. I just want to say that we are living in the end times. And what's going on today is like Brother Seth has said, it's biblical. It's going to happen. You know, we can talk about, I had a discussion with another person about our communities and Obama and all this stuff. And you're right, Brother Seth, he can't get in office and just say, hey, we're going to do all this for the black folks. And, you know, it would be like a death sentence. And I heard another young guy say, well, I would do it and get my head cut off. You know, I mean, if you have loved ones that you care about, I can't see you just going and just saying, hey, just kill my whole family, but we're going to do this for all these black people. You know, I just don't see that making any sense. I have a lot of opinions about that. But, you know, we are living in the end times, and I'm glad that this conversation is taking place right now because a lot of people really need to know what's really going on in the government, and it's really bigger than government. But anyway, I'll make it short, and that's it.
Wow. Now, caller, before you run off, who am I speaking with? You want to give your name?
My name is Sam, S-A-M.
Sam, are you calling from Texas area?
Yes, I am calling from Texas.
All right, that's good. You're in my neck of the woods. It's just I don't get very many calls from Texas. It's everywhere else but home. But anyway, thank you for your comment. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, sure. Bye. Actually, I really appreciated that. And as you see, I mean, it don't mean we right. You got one person that's kind of seeing it like I see it, but it don't mean we right. Maybe Brother Balin is right. You know, we just need to just say, hey, I'm a believer. This is what I'm called to do. I got to die anyway. Brother Balin said he could be taken out any minute. I never looked at it like that. But I just feel like, I used to not, and 817-353, the person just made the comment, hit one on your phone because it looked like you got another question. Brother Fortune, we better get you in because this phone has lit up. I mean, there's so many with questions now. We got one, two more questions. Again, 817-353, the caller that just called, please press one on your phone. It looked like you have a question. There we go. Okay, Brother Fortune, please weigh in on this and we'll get to the other questions. Y'all just be patient with it. This brother got to get his turn. Obama, no question.
First, I would like to thank Sister Sam. I believe I got her name right, Sam.
Right.
Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate any comment, a great comment. And any type of question, comment, statements from the listeners, it's always awesome because that means that we're learning. We're learning from you. You're learning from us. And we have to remember, in order to be a teacher, you cannot stop being a student. So I appreciate your comment. I will have to say, even though I appreciate your comment, I do slightly disagree with you. We have to remember that Obama, okay, is also related to Clinton. Even though it's a distant Clinton, he is a distant relative of Cheney, and as you look down the line, like I said, I don't have my notes in front of me. I do not have my research, but these are things that you can easily look up online. All these presidents that I'm speaking of, and plenty more, are related to European royalty. and all these royal, all these kings, queens, duchess, dukes, they're all related. That is not a coincidence. That is not
I want you on the floor, and I'm definitely not going to stop because you deserve all the time to make those answer those two questions. But I just got to throw something in here real quick. But what about Michelle, Asha, mother-in-law? They're all a part of his presidency. They're not related to those kings and whatever.
That is true. That is true. But we're speaking of the president, not the president's wife. Now, the reason why I'm stating this is this, is because it is not a coincidence that the bloodline, the royal United States bloodline, is still in office. Okay? Now, another thing that we have to start to understand is that Obama is a part of a system. Don't get me wrong. Please do not get me wrong. It is nice to see a change of color in the office, and I appreciate that. But the minute that everyone starts to believe that one man, regardless of his intention, all right, can change the welfare of a group of people, that is a, and remember, this president is a part of a system. For you to believe that one man, okay, is going to change the welfare of people that have been deprived and has been stepped on since the beginning of this country, against, you know, I mean, we're delusional. This is delusional thinking. And we have to understand that. It's impossible. There's so many avenues. Let's just say that Obama, hypothetically speaking, let's just say that he's up on up and up. Okay? He still has to go through the House. He still has to go through Congress. There's so many people behind him. Okay? Obama is carrying out a legacy. We have to understand that we want to go back to biblical times. All right? Then we have to understand that Satan is in rule now. Satan is in rule. Okay? So it is the spirit of Satan. And there's so many layers to this thing that we cannot start looking at the surface. What could Obama do? If let's say Obama wanted to change things, what type of laws are he going to pass by himself? He can't even raise the debt ceiling by himself. This is what all this is about. So why would we start to believe that just because a black man or a person who appears to be a black man, because he has a white mother, let's not forget that, what makes us think that he's going to, with a swipe of a pen, unless he does something illegal, like Bush did when he called his war without going to Congress, and everybody talked about it for days. What is he going to do with a swipe of a pen that's going to change the structure of the United States? Let's think about this. This is all set into play. And I'm going to tell you something else. People think that their votes matter. People really think that their votes matter. This is an electoral college thing. This is a setup, people. All this stuff is a setup. It's delusional stuff. It's delusional thinking. We are taught to think on things based on emotion. This is how we're taught.
Well,
when
you know,
when the flowers first went down, when the towers first dropped, okay, and I'm going to be honest with you, to the Most High, all right, when the towers dropped that first day, I was so shocked. I was so much in shock that I almost ran down to my recruiter station. But they were showing these buildings drop every 5 minutes, every single day. You're seeing these buildings drop every 5 minutes. The first day I saw it drop, I'm upset. Okay? The second day I saw it drop, now the emotion, because I was always taught, you cannot make logical decisions based upon emotion. So I was groomed as a child to learn to set my emotions aside. So that's what I did. I set my emotions aside.
Okay.
And when I saw those buildings drop, trust me, a plane did not drop those buildings. That was demolition in that building. That was an implosion.
Brother Fortune. Okay. Each one of you brothers, I tell you, y'all are long-winded, but that's good.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Listen, I want to get these questions in here real quick. We got area code. I don't know who was first. I think area code 336. 310-336-310. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Brother Seth, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Victim 2 Victorious out of the chat room.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
And
welcome, my brother. Long time no hear from. Welcome.
Shalom, my friend. Shalom.
Shalom.
Man. Enjoying the program this evening. But I have to come in disagreement with you as far as President Obama is concerned. Just to let you know, when I first saw him back in 2004 at the Democratic National Convention, and, you know, I have an 18-year-old son. When I saw him make that speech at that convention then, I looked at him and I said, that's going to be our first black president. And sure enough, you know, 4 years later, you know, this is what we have. But I also understood that there was a purpose behind that. And just like the previous caller had spoken, I think Brother Fortune had spoke, that, you know, as we go into President Obama's background, here it is, they're keeping it in the bloodlines, and he's kin to these other presidents. That's not by accident. That's on purpose. They're going to keep it in the bloodlines, and ultimately those bloodlines actually go back to royalty. If you go and then start tracing it back over there to the throne over there in England. But then also, too, we got to understand who's kin to who. And first and foremost, being believers in the Most High, we got to understand that our battles are not done through flesh and blood. This is a spiritual thing. Now, I'm going to tell you how spiritual this is. Mind you, this young man had been groomed and planned for years. All this birth certificate, birth deal, there are some issues behind that. Why would you spend over $1 million in an effort to try to hide your real birth certificate if you are who you say you are?
Well, but hold on. Now, Victim to Victoria, I definitely want you to finish, but I got to interject a couple of things. I want you to write this down, a couple of things. First thing I got for you real quick is this. If he's so groomed, like everybody keeps saying, and so far it's like all of y'all are against what I'm saying, and that's not a big deal. We're not against. We're just disagreeing, and that's intellectually done. Now, but this is my thinking. If he is so groomed by these powers that be, how could they mess up something as big as a birth certificate? That's question number one. Question number two, if we begin to research how many black folks is linked to the president, okay, y'all saying that he's related to all these presidents, runaway slave, a.k.a. Nat Turner, and the chat room just says he was related to, what did he say, eight presidents or something. My point is this. How come nobody said that Bush was related to all those people he's related to? And when Clinton was in president, how come they didn't say, I never heard Clinton's related to all these presidents? Because you just said he's related to the Bushes some kind of way, he's related to the Clintons some kind of way, he's related to eight presidents some kind of way. How come we didn't hear when those other eight presidents was in office, you know, that they was related to the other seven or the other six or the other five or the four? What I'm trying to say is if we check all of our lineages, we probably all related to them on down the line, on cousin, you know, because we all, I just don't, I'm not seeing a balance here. I'm concerned about how we, go ahead.
I understand where you're coming from. You're trying to find a balance in an unbalanced situation. See, this thing is much larger than what we can even perceive in our own minds. You've got to understand that there is a wickedness that goes beyond human reasoning that has set this thing up. Case in point. Let's go back to a subject that you had dealt with maybe about a month ago, and you had actually played a clip concerning Babylon workings. Okay, watch this. Here it is. George Bush, the first George Bush, was actually elevated in the Skull and Bones. After he was elevated in the Skull and Bones, him and who we know as Barbara Bush got together and produced this George Jr. Now watch this. Let's pit stop over here at Barbara, because do you know who Barbara Bush's father is?
Yeah.
There ain't nobody talking about this widely, but Barbara Bush's father is Aleister Crowley.
There you go, caller. There you go.
So we got to understand our battle is not against flesh and blood. And, yes, it's real easy to get caught up in the racial aspect of this issue. Why? Because that's what the Ashkenazi Jews want us to do. Yeah, it may seem unfair, but I'm looking at the big picture. I'm looking at the end game here. They want us at our throats. They not only want black and white against each other, but they want black and black against each other as well. They want us to be upset. Well, why come you ain't supporting this black president? Because it ain't about being black. Because the last time I read my scripture, the scripture said, hey, look, you know, I am royalty. I'm not supposed to depend on one man for anything. I never looked at Barack Obama as my savior. Why? Because we're not supposed to. And it's like one of the previous callers has said, we as a people have a tendency to put the burden on one or two people to deliver a whole nation when the Father has been wanting to have us to look to him.
Yep, you're right, brother.
And people, and we're going to have to be broken out of this. Hey, look, I feel sorry for President Obama. You know, you want to know why? Because he was programmed, monarch programming from the very beginning. Who they saying, who he said and who he was taught his father was ain't really his father. His father is Frank Marshall Jr. Let's just call it the way that it is. If you look at the pictures, you can see that that's Frank Marshall's boy. Barack Obama Sr. don't even look close to that boy. And also in another pit stop, his mother was actually a CIA operative. I'm telling you, we got to look deeper than the stuff that we want to look at. We don't want to admit some of the things that deep down inside the Ruach or the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, look, I understand you feel this way, and we got to take our feelings out of this. We get so messed up by the
doctrine. Okay, now, victim to victorious, I got to ask you this because I want to get to, man, it's like, you should be on the show yourself because I only wanted you to stop talking because you just. But I gotta do this, and then I gotta, out of respect, go back to these brothers. But you are slamming this thing just like they were, and that's why I try to tell people, folks. There's a lot of people out here. Anybody up this time of night on a Friday night when they got all kind of clubs open and all kind of entertainment for men, and they on the line on a show like this, they ain't no average everyday guys. So, folks. Y'all shouldn't be shocked, really. This Blog Talk Radio is a voice. I don't necessarily say I'm down with the owners and all that, but I'm talking about it is a vehicle where you can get a lot of truth. But I got to ask you something real quickly, and I got to go back to Balin and Brother Joseph and Brother Fortune 500. The question to you is this. If somebody just heard, like I'm sure my friend here in Texas, we both seen the only one on this idea that, you know, y'all, you know, anyway, give us proof. Where do we go to learn more about this? And if Joseph, when you start talking here in a second, you got more additional information, this thing is archived. People are going to listen. Already, this is my most listened to show right now. So people are tuning in to y'all. So I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Where do you get the proof from? Where do you get your proof from?
Okay, well, no problem, none whatsoever. First, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. So not only am I going to tell you this information, but I'm also going to post up certain links inside the chat room so folks can actually go check out this information for themselves, just so they'll know I'm not just pulling this stuff out of thin air. This is real. This is a spiritual battle. This has nothing to do with our skin. As much as the mass media want us to believe that, we cannot, once again, I got to repeat, we cannot get caught up in President Obama looking like us. But here's what I've never heard that man say. I've never heard that brother say that he was one of us. I've never heard him say it. Never came out of his mouth. Never came out of his mouth. I wouldn't be ashamed. I was born to a white mother and a black father. But you know what? Anybody that come to me and ask me, who are you? I am a Hebrew. I am what the United States would classify as an African-American or a black man. I ain't running from that. It was a reason why the Father created me to be as such. There is no need to be ashamed of that. So I pray for that brother. I pray for his family. I would not want to be in his position. But guess what? He don't have a choice because somebody took his mind a long time ago.
Y'all are dropping some dudes. Let me do this because I'm going to just have to personally, we're going to have to get you on, my brother, because I respect the research you've done, at least on this subject. Maybe when we just talk about Obama, I'm sure you can go into some other areas. But I really appreciate it, but I got to go to the brother. So what I want you to do, Victim to Victorious, chat room is full of people. I want you to go in that chat room, and I'm gonna copy those links myself and try to put it into the program description. So not only will it be in the chat room, these links, but I'm going to try to put it in the description of the show. How about that? And that way, when people look online that's not on the chat room, they hear this in the future, they can click on and see what you're talking about. So please post the links. We got other questions. We got one more call I got to go to. But, brother, I am so – not that you need me to be impressed, because the Most High is the only one you need to answer to, but I really enjoyed your comment, okay, just so you know. All right?
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Love you, man, and be blessed.
All right. Y'all know I already believe in this. That's why we call this show New World Order, White Society. This brother, what he said sound like the kind of things I would believe, but I don't know. I guess I'm stuck with the whole black thing. It's for like these white presidents that ran this country, and we get one black man in there, and they're going to post every. Now, he's a mole. Well, anyway, it could be very well true. All right, caller 248-805. Go ahead. You are on the air.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hey, what's going on? This is Brother Rich from Detroit. I spoke with you and Joseph last week. I forgot what subject it was. I was up for the whole show. We was talking about all the conspiracies and with the gentleman. You had the other gentleman on the other phone trying to get, you know, the information, the resources from Joseph.
We remember you. How you doing, my brother?
I'm blessed.
Actually, the guy from England that called in, I think he was before you. He's been saying, and I'm going to share this real quick now because I want to hear what you got to say. He said that he really enjoyed your comment last week. You've been trying to say that I need to get you on. The guy in England was so blessed by you. He's been talking about you for about a week. Just so you know, the brother was called before you. Go ahead, and we're going to get back to these brothers here. I want to hear what you got to say.
Okay, I'm going to say this with all love. I grew up reading the Bible. I grew up Baptist. I'm a U.S. veteran. I was in Iraq in 2004 to 2005. I was discharged in 2005, honorable and everything. And this is what I believe. I'm going to get straight to the point. When I got out the military, you know, President Obama was not the president. You know what I mean? And I believe reading the scriptures that the African-Americans, Latinos, from my research and from my experience, I'm going to tell you two things real quick. I believe that the black people in America are Israel. And they know, if you look at these children, these babies, and it don't matter if they're black or white. They're growing up in a society that's real cold-hearted. It's killings, homicide. You just see the Casey Anthony situation. They're witnessing all types of racism, unemployment, you know, disease. We got all kind of filthy things going on that's distracting everybody from having a balanced, prosperous life with your family and whoever you love and what you choose to do. Not just in the United States, but all over the planet. It's just totally out of chaos. Now, one thing I know as far as I agree, Obama is in a position to where he couldn't do nothing about as far as who he is. But one thing he better recognize and know and arrest these devils, whether they black, white, Chinese, blue, yellow, whatever, they know that the truth will define itself. You cannot do evil forever. All these claims that we feel it, the whole planet is just off the chain. Nobody's content. Can't nobody sit at night and wake up the next day and don't expect for a martial law riot outside. Something's going to happen. And one more thing I want to tell you, brother, and I'm saying this with love, because your heart is good. I can see I can feel your heart from over the phone. Those military troops that they sending over, I'm going to tell you something what happened to me. I took an R&R trip over there to Qatar when I was in Iraq for 4 days, and I took a swim in the Persian Gulf. And I'm going to tell you something. That water over there is spiritual. All them soldiers, them Navy people, military over there, as soon as they go swimming in that water, I'm telling you, God got a plan. Everybody got to recognize. It may not be a comfortable plan. Everything got to get turned upside down. We got to go to the purification stage. And some people are going to die. Trust me. It's sad to hear it, and it's heartbreaking. We all got visions to raise our family, to be healthy, to be whole. You know, everybody got an opinion. But nobody want to accept the purification stage. You read the Bible, mm-hmm. It says in Revelation that the children of Israel will get back together in the last days. We are those children. That's all I got to say.
Well, brother, I'm just so appreciative of those words. And I just don't know what to say. You laid it out. So I thank you for calling. Press 1 on your phone, and
okay.
If you have another comment, we'll bring you back on. But I really, really appreciate what you've shared. Okay? All right? Thank you, brother.
Okay.
I'm brother.
Can I say something, please?
Okay, go right ahead.
All right. This is Fortune 500. These brothers, last two brothers, that just called in, right on point. And this is exactly what I am trying to get across to people. The brother before then finished up exactly what I was trying to get at. You know, this is not something that I'm making up. I don't even know that brother that called in, but he's right on point. And the fact of the matter is that we are taught to look at the white man next door. I'm not saying that their hands are clean. All right, but they're just living out something that was taught to them. They're living out what they believe. And the fact of the matter is that the majority of people on this planet, their truth is based off of their perception, not fact. Not fact. Their truth is based off of their perception and also their belief, because their belief shapes their perception, and their perception shapes their truth. But none of it is based off of fact. And you know, that is the problem that we're having. It has nothing to do with color. It's a spiritual thing. And I always like to say that it's about 98% spiritual and about 2% physical. So when we start getting hung up on a person's color, whether or not they're black or white, whether or not we perceive them as a brother or an enemy, based upon the outward appearance, we're in a lot more trouble than we thought. A lot more trouble than we thought.
You know what? I must be very honest, you know, because this show is about true honesty. I think you just called my card. I believe that I'm the guy that teaches about leprosy and a bunch of stuff that I know most people don't believe. And I will, if it's true, I'll put it out there. And once I find it to be true, believe me, I will run with this harder than any of you. But right now, just my flesh talking, I don't have I haven't done the research y'all done. But I just know some of what you're saying make a whole lot of sense. I know that the New World Order, by the Spirit, has ordained that man to be there. Because there's nowhere in the world he's going to slide through the New World. They'll just simply take him out, put a bullet in his head. It's so easy to take Obama out because you got him in your hand, his family. It will be so easy. So I know for a fact the powers that be have ordained him to be there. But I didn't know the mechanics of that. Let me do this, and then I'm anxious to hear what Brother Balin has got to say because he hasn't spoken in a while, and Brother Joseph. So let me get this one more caller, question, comment, and then we'll invite them brothers in. So area code 720-863, what is it you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just tuned into the show, and I heard the last two callers, and I agree with pretty much most of what they said. I like this show. It seems like you got a lot of thinkers calling in and talking. But one thing that sort of always alarms me is when people are talking about scripture. I think that's fine and stuff, but we have to, I think we should never overlook the possibility that governments have poisoned scripture, because they poison us, they poison our water, they poison our food, they poison our hearts and our souls. So I think that we have to assume they've poisoned scripture, they've poisoned us in every way that they possibly can. And we look at President Obama or previous President Bush or whatever, the one thing that pretty much every U.S. president in my lifetime I've ever seen has in common is they're all murderers, you know, and they all enslave people, you know, whether it's through the prison system, through taxation, through, you know, the school system, they're all slaveholders and they're all murderers. And I think that, you know, until they prove not to be, and so far none of them have, they've all gracefully participated in murder. And it's always conveniently people overseas that don't share our creed or color or religion or whatever. There's always a group that we enjoy murdering at the hands of our leaders. So I think we should maybe always be on the lookout for what else have they poisoned.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. No,
go ahead.
Are you there? You don't have to give me a name, but where are you calling from? What state?
Denver, Colorado.
Let me ask you a question, and then we're going to be real, okay? Because on this show, you heard me talk about this. If you listen to the show any length of time, I do not ascribe to hate in any form or fashion. I believe that whatsoever is not done out of love is a sin. I only say that because I come so hard sometimes, and I know I sound like a racist. That's why I'm always quoting in scriptures about love, because that's truly what my intention is. But you heard me just talk about me and how I hope that these brothers are wrong. You've heard me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you just said all presidents are murderers.
I believe
that
to be true.
I'm just wondering, because I think you are right, by the Spirit, that I just feel like you're right. I just don't have proof of that, but I just know the nature of the beast. That White House is full of blood. I know that. But how many white people you hear say in your society, in your world, how many white people you hear say what you just said, that all presidents are... It's almost like when President Obama became president, all of a sudden we start hearing things like that. This is probably the flesh side of me wanting to defend him as a black man, first president. I mean, get a man a break. Let's dog out maybe the sixth black president. This is probably the black part of me. So I just want you to be honest with me. How many white people you hear dogging out presidents to the degree to where they'll say that every one of them was murderers? I mean, they have been hailing George Bush as a saint. He's born again. He's this. I mean, how many people think like you in your circle?
Oh, I don't think very many. I mean, like, to say that the government murders is a pretty outlandish statement. I mean, you lose a lot of credibility saying something, but I think it's honest, just like saying police murder people. I mean, it takes a special kind of sociopath to patrol the streets, beat people up, tase them to death, you know, and it's really the same profile that we have for criminals, except I think the criminals have more of a conscience in a lot of places. Or to say that the prison industrial complex is a scam, the military industrial complex is a scam. These ideas are not commonly held ideas. So do I see people say that? No. I will tell you something, though. I own a liquor store in a predominantly black and Hispanic neighborhood, and I talk to my customers all the time, and I know the people in the neighborhood. And when I spout these beliefs or views to them, I don't find nearly as much resistance. It's just sort of like, yeah, that's the truth. What do you do about it? You know, because the cops don't behave the same way in our neighborhood as they do in, say, that neighborhood. You know, the cops are afraid of lawsuits and stuff versus, you know, let's just be real. You know, cops can get away with beating up young black kids. You know, they can get away with that. They can get away with a few murders a year, you know, as long as not too many, you know. And this is what happens. So when you're protected from that in one neighborhood, you're not exposed to it, then you can't see it. And once you see it, though, the whole structure unravels and you realize it's bullshit, you know.
Well, I just want to appreciate again another good comment, brother. You laid it out there. I really appreciate you
being honest as you have. And please call the show and follow the show. I look forward to hearing you again, okay? What was your name, or what name would you like to go by?
Mr. Politics.
Mr. Politics. All right, well, listen, thanks again for calling, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, folks, that's another slam dunk. I mean, anyway, let's go ahead and talk to Brother Balin. Been quiet for a minute. Brother Balin, I mean, we didn't mean to make this whole show about Obama. I want to get on a couple of the subjects. As a matter of fact, I think, folks, we're just going to go ahead and do another hour. I think Blog Talk gives you another hour under the table, so to speak. It's totally legal. We'll just go another hour if that's okay with you, brother. Is that okay with you, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all right with me?
All right. Brother Balin, please jump in on this matter.
One issue that I wanted to discuss, because as everybody was talking, I'm just going through my files, and I'm just looking through my files, and I'm seeing what I got. But the one issue that nobody seems to talk about is no matter who is at the face, they still have to follow the laws of this land. And what people don't realize is the people that are making these laws are making these laws locally, in our faces. And people ask, well, what are we supposed to do about it? We can sit here and talk about it. We can sit here and come up with some of the best answers. But until we actually start going out there and doing stuff about it, yeah, sure, my vote, my single vote does not count. All our votes make a difference. He's held and confined by the law just like we are. These laws were passed back in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, telling us where we would be. We were over there in Iran, in Iraq, long before the war started. So to see this, now that they start mentioning war, you know, rumors of war that it mentions in the Bible, you always can go back to the Bible. That's what I love. But these rumors of war, these are the laws that have been enacted, whether it be Bush, whether it be Reagan, because the Reagan went through this. I mean, Obama's going through the same thing that Clinton went through. Everybody needs to think about that. And all they were doing was passing laws. And he's sitting up there complaining about the laws. Then they dodged the bullet. Then he sat up there for a little while. Then he couldn't necessarily take the seat. So his wife is going to take the seat, and she's going to bring in some of the same laws. She held some of the same philosophies that were talked about by people, the Negro Project, exterminating our race. Let's get rid of these unworthies. These are the laws that are being passed. Okay, yeah, healthcare no longer supports abortion. So now you got to pay for it out of your pocket with no money. They're not saying that. Nobody's telling you it's wrong. They didn't close down Planned Parenthood. They just redirected it. Everybody,
let me ask you
something. Go ahead.
Let me ask you something, because actually I asked you these same two questions earlier. We just kind of like doing it again. So in all due honesty, I mean, we probably can go on and on and on with Obama, and I want to hit some other topics. I hate to stop you, man. I promise you. I'm so glad this is archived, because I will go back and listen to this probably time and time again. But out of curiosity, I want to know some other angles on some things. Brother Joseph, you haven't commented yet. Are you okay with me moving on to a different topic, or would you like to comment after this brother get through about Obama?
Just a little small piece.
Okay, well, go ahead, Balin, and because I want to be fair, because I think we made two rounds on this, and I think Fortune only commented once on it, I think, and then this is your second time, and this will be Brother Joseph's second time, so I want to keep it fair. So let's go ahead. And, oh, by the way, brothers, the brothers in area code 248805, hit one on your phone because it looked like you have another question. And the last brother that spoke on the air, hit one on your phone because it looked like you have a question. So that way, when y'all do have a question in the future, again, we'll know that. Okay, again, 248805 and 720353. Hit one on your phone because it looked like you have a question. Thank you. Now, 248805, you just need to hit one. But go ahead, Balin, and finish up.
Okay. What I wanted to say is that we have to also start realizing that the new war is on home turf. There's stop drinking the water from your faucet. You want to talk about answers? Those are the things that you do. You got to take it to you. Stop drinking the water from your faucet. Start buying fresh vegetables or growing your own. Make sure you wash them. Start checking your meat. Start washing your meat. Old lady told me, yeah, I've been washing my ground beef for 20 years. Because they are infiltrating waves, the new healthcare standards, go get your virus, push movement. They have to subdue the citizens. They know what's going on. They see what's going on. They have to subdue the citizens. He's going to I see it's getting to him. So I guarantee that we might actually see a change of face. We might see him crack, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know what, not to interrupt you, but that's what I'm hoping. I'm thinking, okay, what if these brothers right? Because I have never been on the wrong side. It sounds like I'm on the wrong side tonight. But I ain't going to just give in because y'all said it. I'm going to do my research. But y'all are talking just like I've been saying all along that I know that the powers that be put in there. I don't think his message on change going to penetrate through this new world order and he wind up in the White House. I do know that. But I am so glad you're talking about a solution there. When you talk about the practical things, and maybe that's the next question. So you actually is answering my next question. What's the solution? Maybe he'll crack and he'll just say, you know what? It's all been a hoax. I'm not really Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. There is something wrong with my birth certificate. And when he does that, of course, they'll kill him. But that'll turn this whole country upside down if that man does that, and maybe we're headed there. But go ahead. Finish up, please. I like your solution.
But what I'm trying to say is that these things have been enacted in law, and he just has to follow the law. He's confined within it. And when I saw what was going on with the welfare or the lower income health standards, I read an article in the 80s where a lady was sitting before Congress and declaring that this would be the new standard, that this would be the new movement of healthcare, that people aren't intelligent enough or people aren't smart enough to seek their own healthcare, so we have to make it a standard. Taking the rights away from the parent, because all parents cannot understand. A lot of people don't know this, but everybody that has children has just lost the right to their children within the last 3 years. At any given time, for any given reason, they can come in your house and take your child from you, and you would have to fight to get that back. And if they're over the age of 14, you need your child's permission to get any information from your doctor. Go test it. Go find out. I can't necessarily provide my source on that, but it was a standard that was, it was something that was enacted that they were planning on doing, and it's now in the present. We no longer have rights over our children, and these are the facts. These are the laws. So it's not that necessarily what can he do about it and what are we expecting. He's one person. He can't do nothing.
Okay, now hold on. Now you said he can't do nothing, but I want to hear from you, Brother Joseph Johnson and Fortune 500. Y'all get ready because I want to know what's the solution. What really is the solution? You got a friend in Texas and other people on the line that we've been bent towards Obama. We want to believe the best. So okay, we find out. Let's just say we do the research and what if we find out that everything y'all are saying is so much true and the half has not even been told. All right, what's the solution? when the Most High gives you insight into a problem, when he reveals the enemy, as a rule, with any prophet, y'all may not want to say y'all prophets, but you technically are walking that office. When he does that, he gives you the solution. If he only shows you the problem, that's kind of what the enemy does. He just want to frustrate us and get us upset and oppressed and full of anger and anxiety and just doubt and just give up. That's the role. The thief come but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm not trying to put y'all on. Yes, I am. I'm trying to put y'all on the spot. What has the Most High given y'all to be the solution? Now, why are you thinking about that? Hold on. Why are you thinking about that? I know I put you on the spot, so let me do this. I got a area code 248805. If you do not have a question, please press 1 on your phone because it looks like you have a question. Otherwise, I'm going to open the phone line and you won't have a question. Okay? It looks like area code 817353 just had a response, I think. I'm anxious to know what she would have to say, what she has to say about what y'all just said. So if you did have a question, Erica, 817353, please press 1 on your phone. We're anxious to hear what you got to say. But 720-863 is a new question. We're going to go ahead and open this line up and see what they got to say. Then we get to Brother Joseph here in a little bit. All right. Erica, 720-863, go ahead.
Okay.
With your comment.
Yeah, so I have a solution, but it's not one I think anybody wants. Is going to like hearing. I think the solution is really education and educating two groups of people: A, adults that have already been through the public school system, and trying to prevent future generations from going through the public school system, because the public school system is ran by the government, and the government poisons children's minds as young as possible. And
wow.
So I think that if we look at that, it's going to take patience, and it's not going to be done in one generation. I think that we're going to have to start training our children, and it's even more difficult to take somebody who's been through that system. I've been through the system, and I know that after leaving that system, it took a long time for me to deprogram myself, and that was a much harder task than, say, not programming children in the first place. But so I'd say education is...
Hold on one second, because you land the law again, but I got to let everybody know that in 30 seconds we're going to lose everybody on the Internet that's listening with your computer. So you guys, please call 760-283-0838. Otherwise, we're going to lose you in literally 30, 25, 20 seconds now, okay? But if you can't listen, it will be archived, the show. And so I want to thank you all for tuning in, and please archive and get the solution. Go ahead, my brother. You're doing great. Keep going, and then we'll hear from Brother Joseph. Go ahead.
So I think that the end goal is to train our children to not recognize, say, violence, not recognize its usefulness, not respect authority or illegitimate authority, say, like the government, not buy into the media, realize that that's also a tool of government, and start rejecting all the things that the government and people that oppress humans have used as tools for, centuries. So I think that's the first step. It's going to take time and patience and vigilance. The second thing, too, is starting to put up filters and realize, like, for instance, people talk about Obama and how, he's for the poor or whatever, The first thing that you constantly hear in the media with these budget discussions and stuff is, let's eliminate, welfare and entitlements and all that. And the thing that you have to realize, if you actually look at that budget as a piece of pie, that's a very small portion. And the stuff that's off the table is military, prisons, everything that's used that we don't really want, the Alphabet Gang, FBI, DEA, ATF, like all these organizations, they're off the table. And then if we look at, so they look at the entitlements. But the entitlements, if you cut off all the checks going into poor areas and stuff, you're going to end up with rioting. So here's what they're doing. They are decreasing the amount as we speak, but that's going to actually be through the process of raising this debt ceiling. because when they cause inflation, they never have to lower the individual's check that they're receiving, whether it be Social Security, welfare, food stamps. They never have to lower the amount. They just lower the value through massive inflation. And we have to start looking at, like, tricks and stuff that they're pulling and look at them critically, you know, and see so these tricks are pretty transparent if we really examine them closely. And they're constantly pulling them because if somebody's not going to notice that their check that they get, whether it be Social Security or whatever, spends crappy, you know, that could be years before they catch on to that. But if that amount was lowered by even $10, they would notice that instantly. So what they do is just devalue the currency and screw the people in that way, you know. And then they say, oh, well, you're lucky to get this, without realizing that, you know, we don't have discussions of corporate welfare and eliminating that, or eliminating any of the major wastes that happen in government every single day, or any of the things that are really used to take away our freedom and prosperity.
You know what, my brother, I just really appreciate, and I hope I don't come off as a yes man tonight. I'm agreeing with everybody. Everybody is so right. No, I want to disagree with y'all just on some fronts, but I just really appreciate you laying it out like that, because that is absolutely a trick of the government, you know, with the whole inflation bit. That would be a ploy. That would be something, and that's just the way, you know, they do things. Case in point, the Federal Reserve. Let me let these brothers in, because I don't want them to get upset with me. Actually, I'll tell you what I want to do. I'm going to let brother, just you stay right there, caller, if you don't mind, and I'm going to kind of do this. I don't know if they want me to do this, but brother Joseph, okay, wait a minute. Brother Balaam, what's your comment to what the brother said?
Just like I was saying earlier, the law, they're making these laws, that, like he said, they're doing everything in your face. We've been watching it. And that's all we've been doing. We've been watching it for 2 years as our country has fell down. And we looked at millionaires embezzle their money out, consolidate their money, close their businesses, and move out of the country. But we're sitting there, well, what's going on? They're doing it to our face. Our soldiers are
the rats are always.
What? The only thing
the rats are always.
Soldiers is we don't know what we're doing over here. We just know every once in a while a couple of us get blown up. They send the report back to America, get everybody feeling all upset, but they have no idea what they're doing over there.
Well, you were talking about the.
Go ahead, Carl. Make a
rich.
Make a last.
You were talking about the. Yeah, you were talking about the rich people getting, you know, getting out and cashing out. The rats are always the first one off the sinking ship.
Basically.
Yep.
And where are they going to invest their money? Where are they going?
To China, probably. You know, I mean, all of our resources and stuff are being shifted to Asia, where they're setting up camp next, you know, and that's what they do. That's why you see global trade patterns shift from country to country. Asia is it right now. Africa's next. You know, they'll exploit the next nation.
Oh, yeah, that's
eventually, it'll be
that's
our turn again.
That's all a part of the green movement. That's all a part of the green movement. Let's go green. While we consolidate all our resources out of the country so that we have to get our herbs and our spices from India, our iron from Germany, our precious ores, let's consolidate it out. And then this is all in the name of green. The meanwhile, we'll shoot holes in our oil ships so that we'll have to be dependent on certain regimes that are controlling the oil while we resource our assets to third world national organizations. I say third world in order to actually, because they might as well be little countries. Because they show us these little countries, but these, no, there are other people that are walking around that are countries. The Rothschild organization, that's a country. It happens to be, they happen to have their house over in Sweden and Australia, but I'm not even going to get into those things.
Let me do this. Caller, I really appreciate that you honed in on like you did. That was a good angle to come at it that way. That's the one thing that I wish that if I could go back to school, and I know we always got time, but I got so many other things I'm trying to learn. I was told a long time ago, and then I'll let you go. Somebody said to me, if you really want to know what's going on in America, there's two things you watch. You got to know economics. That's what a real slavery is. And you got to
look into the court system and prison. You ever go to prison and see how it is? Just go to prisons and stay there, like for a year. Go every, I don't know, go as a, like some of the preachers do, and really see. That's when you can see America as well as the, I guess that's the poorest, all the way up to the richest, like the pundits, what is it, pundits, kings, what do they call it, Madoff. When you begin to look at the economics and really see globally what the, you know, Federal Reserve, IMF, all these people, what they're doing economically, until you see that, you don't really know what's going on. And, of course, the prison system. You're just blind. You'll never know what's going on in our country.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. And, you know, when I've done a lot of political activism and stuff, and the one thing I've seen that I think is different with the black community over any other community is blacks are the only group of people that governments worldwide have ever admit have been slaves. And what we have right now, we never ended slavery. What we did was we expanded it to the entire human race. It used to just be one group. But the only, you know, historical evidence we have that anybody can agree on is that we enslaved blacks. So the black community has, you know, that enslavement idea in their minds. They know that it's real, it's happened, you know, and it's close to their heart. And I think most people are blind to that, and they don't realize that when you want to figure out what's really going on globally, you have to look back to enslavement, because that's what it's all about. Economics goes back to slavery. The prison system, as you mentioned, goes back to slavery. The war on drugs, you know, policy, law, all of it is about slavery. And what I really predict is going to happen with this country and this economy, they're going to crash it down. We're going to have another Great Depression, and they'll save it with another New Deal. And that New Deal will just be that that collar around our neck tightened up 10% tighter, 20% tighter, but we accept it because, well, the government that saved us from this, when we don't accept that they created it to begin with, they saved the day, and we owe our master something.
Good comment. I really just appreciate you sharing that, and I'm going to go ahead and go to these other brothers, but thanks again for calling in. And
I just want to listen in. So.
Yes, thanks again, okay? Again, folks, another brother that is studying, I tell you, the Most High, I have all types of people out here. Brother Balin, were you done?
You can.
You probably never can get done, can you? Tell the truth.
I did wanted to say this real quick.
Let's do this out of respect. Okay. Because these brothers have been quiet for a good while. Let's do this. Let's jump over to Brother Joseph. Ask him for a solution. Jump over to Brother Fortune. Ask him for a solution. And then we'll just come back to you on the next round, because I don't want to ignore them, okay?
Okay.
Brother Joseph, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Brother Phil.
Didn't fall asleep on me, did you? What do you think of that last caller?
Brother was right on time, you know, because you got 80 million people on government subsidies, you know, Social Security and things, disabilities and things, right? You got 80 million people, so just imagine 80 million people being cut in half, or, like he said, lower to their standards where they set, you know. Yeah, so, you know, he was on time with that.
All right, now give us a solution real quick.
This solution, but most people not ready for it. It's the purification period, you know, where these earth changes coming in. And that's the best thing for humanity right now, is to get a big purification, you know, like a dog, you know, coming up out of the water. He's going to shake all them fleas and that wet water off them. You know, this is what the earth needs right now.
Well, hold on. Are you talking about genocide here?
No, I'm talking about the earth changes where, you know, the blue Katrina, you know, the red Katrina.
Yeah, but that's going to cause a lot of death.
Huh?
that's going to cause a lot of death, my brother.
Well, that's what we need, you know, because you got a lot of bad people in the world.
Well, you know what? As crazy as what you, let me just say this real quick. As crazy as that sound, and Brother Joseph, that sound crazy. But guess what?
I know it sound crazy.
Hold on. Wait a second. But you know what? Why I don't throw it out, and why I like you, my brother, you're known for that. You always say a lot of stuff that sound crazy when you first hear it. But as people chew on it, that's exactly what the book of Revelation talks about. So you can't be crazy. The Bible actually, and I know that the previous caller was saying how man tamper with the scriptures, but we don't have another source. Science, we just don't have nothing to me that has dictated the future and have made clear the past as the scriptures have. Yes, we know that book's missing, and yes, we know that the caller is right. The powers that be, of course they tried to tamper with the scriptures. There's duplicate chapters in the Bible and all kind of things. We can go there. You know, such and such did King David. It's written in the book of Jasher, and there is no book of Jasher. I mean, we can go there. But I still feel like it is the most profound source on the planet. It's just, you know, so having said that, Revelation does agree with you that there is going to be a type of cleansing like that. That's what really the whole concept of the lake of fire is all about. And the Most High destroying, opening up the earth and destroying Israelites that was anti him. So people might not like what you're saying. I don't like what you're saying. I wish it wasn't true, but I'm not stupid. I know that the scriptures have to be fulfilled. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. That's why I'm open-minded with this whole Obama thing. Any other solutions, and then we're going to go to Brother Fortune.
You can move on.
Brother Fortune 500, solution, please. The Bible says the Most High will not do nothing on the earth unless he reveals it unto his prophets. You might not say you are the prophet, but when he gives you and he shows you these types of insights that Brother Balin and the other brother was talking about, normally they give you solution. What is the solution?
Okay. I would have to say the solution, the first thing for solution is the spirit of discernment. My father taught me this a long time ago, and it's a little prayer, all right? And if God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We have to understand and we have to keep in mind that this is a spiritual battle. There are things that we're going to do on a physical level. But if you put your trust in the Most High, live the laws, get out of the man's religion. Okay, when I say the man's religion, I'm not talking about just Christianity. I'm talking about religion as a whole. Okay? And we start obeying the Creator, okay, then changes are going to start to happen. But these changes are going to start on a spiritual level. These changes are going to start on a spiritual level. And we have to remember that, like I said, we as human beings, there are going to be things that we're going to have to do. But you must let the Most High lead you. The next step in the process is exactly what we're doing right now. Exactly what we're doing right now. We're starting something which is deprogramming. All right? And once we start, we can't go right from the beginning right to the end. There's a process and there's a journey that everyone's going to have to take. And I'm not saying that the journey started here. People that's online right now and listening to our voices, we've already been on their journey. You can listen to some of your callers, and your callers have said some beautiful things tonight.
Beautiful things.
Some things that I didn't even expect. But we're on that path right now.
And you know what? I'm just so thankful. I mean, actually, I'm a little encouraged. I mean, I'm a lot encouraged before the show, but I'm more encouraged, I should say, because it's almost like the Most High have spoken through you guys for sure. Y'all been doing this. Brother Joseph been hitting this for 4 weeks straight. And he's been, I know he's got a lot of people thinking, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And so tonight, he shares a solution. He shared a solution some other nights. But then tonight, Brother Balin dropped several solutions. Then we got the brother calling in from Detroit and sister from Texas and this brother from Denver really dropped some serious practical solutions. So I just think the Most High is speaking to you people, you prophets. Y'all may not want to say it, but you are operating in that office in and out tonight. So I want to do this. Fortune, first of all, were you done?
I'm sorry, I missed what
you said. 4,500, were you done?
Yes, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, I want to open up the line, and she's not even asking a question, but our good caller from Texas is still hanging on the line. I would like to ask her a question, and if when I open up the line, my sister, if you don't want to comment, just say no comment, because you really didn't press one, and I don't do this too often, but you seemed very concerned earlier, and I saw you had your hand up a few times, and maybe you've gotten just tired and put it down, but let me just see if you did have a question. So 817-353, call, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, let me ask you something. I saw your hand was up and it wasn't. I just want to know, if you don't want to comment, that's fine, because, again, your hand wasn't up at that particular second. What do you think of what you've heard as far as the solution? Have you changed your stance on Obama? Do you think it merit more research? Have you been encouraged by what the brothers have said thus far? We're going to go with this thing till almost 3 o'clock tonight, so I just wanted to say, what have you gotten from it?
I'm almost a little shy, but I do want to comment. My opinion of Obama is, I would rather not say, really. But I've been reading in my scriptures about the tribulation time and, you know, the times that we're living in right now. And, you know, I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but I really feel strongly about it. You know, it's like it's opening, this new world order is really opening up the door for, I probably won't comment right now, but the solution is very well needed. Some of the guys have spoken about a solution, and we can talk all night about the problems and things that we see need to be changed, but, you know, even things as small as drinking the water, because it is poison, and we do need to teach our children to get an understanding of, and not, I wouldn't know how to word it, but I do teach my children about the Bible, and they are aware of the things that is going on in this world, and I don't believe everything I hear. I like to get research for myself.
Let me put you on the spot, if you don't mind, for time's sake here. The caller from Denver, the school system, he said some practical things. Brother Joseph Johnson,
right.
He said some practical things, and he, all of it seemed biblical, but this brother, I mean, Brother Balin started it off. Any of what they said, I mean, does it?
It makes a whole lot of sense. It is lining up with what I've been researching, but I've been studying about the secret society, and I don't know if that's safe for me to even talk about. But I know that it's bigger than government, and it's to me, it just seems like it's all a plan for the enemy, and the Antichrist is on the way. You know, I mean, if he's not already here, he, she, whatever, the spirit is already here. And I don't know if you guys have heard of the Illuminati, but, you know, these people are the secret society, and it's all just a setup to kill us all, really.
I want you to keep listening, and if you have a question later on, don't feel bad. It's okay for y'all to ask two or three questions. I'm not one of those talk show hosts. I don't mind y'all asking questions. If you have another question, just lift your hand up. But if you have any more to comment before I put you on hold and hear from these other brothers.
I don't. I'm shy. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing good. Believe me, you're doing good, and the Most High is going to use you to reach your world, the world you're in. It don't matter that you don't think whatever. You think you're doing just fine. You sound like you got your own show somewhere, to tell you the truth. Or you sound like you just share a lot in your own,
I do.
You know, maybe the laundromat or on your job. So you're doing fine. You're doing fine. It's very important we believe in ourselves in terms of being able to articulate. You don't have to know every single thing about the One World Government. None of us do, because it's too vast. But I want to go ahead and go get to these other brothers. I want to thank you for just sharing this now.
Can
okay?
I say one more thing, Brother Seth, before you cut me
all
out?
Right.
I would like to say that the Bible tells us that we should not live in fear, and that we don't lean into our own understanding. And I'm probably not quoting that exactly right, but you know we do understand that these things are here, and we understand that God is in control, and you know we can't stop what the Word of God says is going to happen. It's going to happen. But we don't live in fear. The Bible says that we fear not, and that's it.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Beautiful, sister. Very beautiful.
And I just want to thank y'all again, brothers, for being on. I know y'all not sharing as much as you like. I know every one of y'all can do this show 3 hours all by yourself. But let me do this. So everybody, does anybody have any more last words about the solution, because I'm about to drop a bomb on y'all. And I'm telling you right now, now one of y'all, I haven't mentioned this at all to y'all. Before
ahead.
I drop this bomb, I want anybody got, and I want you to make it quick, it's like 3 minutes if you could, the solution.
Oh, I got one real quick. Check your faith. Who do you serve? Check your faith. That's what it's about. You asked me that question, Obama. Yes, I'm willing to die for mine because my faith is in check. Check your faith. I don't fear
good
no
point.
Man.
Good point.
I don't
good
fear
point.
No man.
I'm gonna tell you the reason why I made the comment earlier about that. And I kind of wish I would love to know what the sister think of this. But you know what? The reason I said about would you really die and all that, because I look at my personal life. Now, if I would die as president of the United States for black people, and that would be, you know, that would be something. I'm looking at my life right now and seeing how much do I die daily. I have a hard time right now. I'm going to tell off of myself. Brother Joseph, Brother Fortune 500, Brother Baylen, I have a hard time right now fasting. I do. That's one of my weaknesses. I have a hard time pushing away the plate. I'm not an overweight guy either. So if I can't even push away the plate that I know is going to make me more sensitive to the Spirit of the Most High, if I can't even sacrifice that. My son came to me one time and shared a weakness. Yeah, I'm not going to put his business on the line, but it bothered me that he had this particular weakness. And he asked me, how can I stop this? How can I not do this? And I hope he never heard this particular blog. It don't matter if you do, though. And I know about evil spirits. I've seen them in people. I know about all kind of things, but this particular question caught me off guard, and it required me to get closer to the Messiah, get closer to the Most High, and that comes about through prayer, scripture reading, and quiet time, and y'all know, you know what it takes to get to the Most High, you should, and fasting, of course. I'm embarrassed to say I couldn't even push my plate aside. Now, I did try to offer him as best I could solutions, wisdom, and all this, and maybe it helped him. But I knew that I needed some extra, because what he was asking me about, it was a challenge for me sometimes. So anyway, make the long story short, all of a sudden I become president, and I'm going to go die for black people? I understand Jesse Jackson. I used to not like him until one day I was studying that man. I got to thinking, he got family. I mean, how do we know what the CIA, those people are some powerful people, I'm telling you. They really are. And, I mean, a lot of us love our lives too much to even fast. Read our Bible. So, Balin, maybe you are at that point. I'm not doubting you. Maybe you are. If you are, you're a bad boy. And I thank the Most High for you. You definitely can stay in my life. I need the encouragement because I'm not there. I ain't even nowhere there. I may not even be heading that direction. I mean, I'm not about to die for those 250 million white people that all of my life I've never been good enough. I never was smart enough. And yes, I love them. I don't hate them. But they have caused my people pain. They've enslaved my forefathers. He probably goes, brother, that sounds like you. Oh, it's not an unforgiveness. It's just like, I don't know that I can go die for them. Because that's what you would be dying for. That's what Obama would be dying for.
You?
Hold on. One more thing, real quick. That's what you'd be giving your life for. You're not just dying for black people. Ain't the only one in this country. You'd be dying for Americans. And that's why I don't believe in serving no war. I ain't about to go put on no soap. I know some people listen to the certain army. Good for you. You're another person better than me. I'm not about to go spill one. I don't even want to get stuck with a shot. I don't want to give even, man, I don't want shoes. I love people. Don't get me wrong. It's one reason I do the show. But I am not about to allow my son to be murdered, my family to be murdered, flying on Air Force One here and there, and know they're going to blow it up because I stood up and told some white people where to go and the New World Order where to go and my whole family. Don't tell me how many people are going to kill after me. How many of my relatives they're going to continue to just oppress because of me standing up and slapping the New World Order right in the mouth. I'm not going to do it. Go ahead, anybody. Go ahead. It's free. Jump in whenever you want.
Yeah, what has he given you that he can't take away? What has he given you that he can't take away at this very breath? That's how you dedicate yourself to him. You think like that. Somebody, I had a store. I just opened up a store around the corner, clothing store, doing all right. It got a little faulty. I walked away from it. There's nothing on this planet that he has not given me that he cannot just take away. That's how you get on that. Because whether or not you can actually see the eight, unless you can time warp your eyes, you cannot actually see that they are killing your family. If they drink from that faucet, they're killing your family. If they're watching that TV and listening to those subliminal messages that they're putting across there in the cartoons and the soap operas and the reality TV shows, and it's not even the subliminal, it's the fact that they're taking their spirit and their soul away. The fact that they're numbing their feelings, the shock. They're killing your family. They're doing it on them.
You're making a heck of a point right now.
Huh?
Some people would say a hell of a point. It's a serious point you're making right now. But I'm going to tell you something, Joe. I'm going to respond to that point. I'd rather die a slow death than a fast death. So, yeah, you're right. You are absolutely right. Of course, it's a death.
I agree. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
No, go ahead, Fortune 500. Go ahead.
I agree with Clark Solutions, Baylen Clark, 100%. You know, and Bart Solution, Baylen Clark, we are very good friends. We speak just about every single day. Okay? And we are here with that. I love my family. I love my immediate family. I will kill if I have to in order to protect my family, and I will die in the process of protecting my family. Okay? Because I am a protector of my family. Okay, now when we start talking about dying for black people on the whole, okay, I'm not willing to die for black people on the whole because I am willing to die for the Most High. Okay, that is who I'm willing to die for. That is who I work for. All right, and we have to remember that. So if the Most High tells me to speak upon something, that's what I'm going to do. All right, we have to understand. And I keep saying it over and over again. This is a spiritual thing. I will die for no man. All right? And I work for no man. I work for the Most High. Okay? And we have to understand the situation that we're in right now. All right? We got the same brothers out here, same color skin as I have, and everything else. But they are wrapped up so much in the sin. Okay? To the point where even though on a physical level, they're my brother. On a spiritual level, they could possibly be the enemy.
Let me say this. And the only reason why I'm interrupting because of time's sake, I'm watching this clock and trying to manage it. And I think we see the flow where you're going. Not cutting you off, really, because I want to hear from you for sure. Not cutting you off, but I guess what I want to ask you, I know what is required of us as believers. It's like the caller said from Texas. She just basically said to Brother Balin, I just doubt you really mean what you said. She made it really nice, but that's really what she was saying. I'm saying the same thing to you. It's good for y'all to sit here on this line and say what the Most High requires. I know what he's requires. The Bible says your life is not your own. The life that we live, we now live unto Christ. I understand all that. But if I go ask my wife, does Brother Seth live that 24/7? She's going to laugh. She's going to say, yes, yeah, sometimes Seth does things that is of the character of Christ. Sacrifice himself and he does this and that and the other. But on an average, I mean, maybe your brothers are doing it. Fine, great. God, thank you. And I mean that not being facetious. We need more like you. You keep doing it. That's what you're doing because that's what the Most High requires of us. Our lives are not our own. But every preacher say this on Sunday morning. Every one of them. We all know the standard. Every single one of them preach. You got to die to yourself. You know, the Bible said, offer up your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto acceptable unto the Most High, which is your reasonable service. We know the scriptures. Why do we have 5,000 denominations? We know the scriptures. Why come the churches is so divided? Every one of them is saying what y'all saying. Not a one of them can produce the Book of Acts lifestyle. Now, I ain't going to say not a one of them. I'm going to say very few of them because there are some actually can. So I guess what we're saying, we feel like me and the caller from Texas, and I'm sure there's others that ain't going to come up and say it, we just feel like y'all are some different brothers. I'm going to make it really nice. Y'all different. If you really, I know you mean that this is what the Most High wants. We with you on that. We with you. I'm 100% with you, Baylor.
Can I share something personal?
Do it.
As of this week, I found out that most of my information has been compromised. I called my mother. My mother lives in another town, and I called to inform her that a lot of my information has been compromised. I've lost 2 computers in the last 2 months. Every time I go to visit my mom, I lose control of my phone. I might as well put it in my pocket. I can't make my own phone calls. I can't receive my own phone calls. As of Saturday, I realized that my main system has been breached. Am I still doing this? Am I on this phone call? I logged it on Facebook because I was so paranoid and it wouldn't let me. I had to go to another friend's computer to log it on my Facebook that I have been compromised. And I just want everybody that knows me to know this. So I must be on the right path. And if anything should happen to me, I hope y'all pick up the torch and keep it moving.
Yep.
Yes, I'm very serious about this.
And I want you to know this, Balin. What you just said, Brother Joseph, I want him to jump in right now if you don't mind. Y'all listen to my show. You know that I've said the same thing. I done went through hard drives. I done had phone calls. I have some weird stuff happening that I'm not going to share because I don't want people to know we got to him. You know, my wife knows. She don't want me to talk, do blog talk on certain computers because she don't want to. She don't want to go through it. She don't want me. She don't want me. Certain things she don't want me to do. Certain people she don't want me talking to this about. I mean, trust me, we all paying a price. Maybe not as high as yours. I don't know. Maybe I'm being oppressed more than you. But I guarantee you, we are all in the same boat. Brother Joseph Johnson, I know you've been going through it. What's your comment on this, my brother?
Well, I have a wife like David Wilkerson, and I have a wife like my grandfather had, which is my grandma, in denial. And the book says you got to deliver yourself. You can't bring your wife with you, your son, you know, people you love, you got to let them go. You got to deliver yourself from this thing here.
And another thing, you made a comment that we did it every week in church on Sundays. So how many preachers are actually like?
Hold on, Fortune, you're talking a little different. What are you doing with your phone different? You sound a little different.
I'm not doing anything different with my phone. I've been having problems too, all right, because we're starting to make noise. And we're not doing this for a profit. We're not doing it so somebody can stick some money in our tithing plate. All right, so our incentive is to get the truth out, all right, and to help heal the entire world. Also, our people in general also, our black folk in general. You have to understand about eugenics. There's a reason why eugenics has taken a place, all right, because they're trying to kill off the black messiah. I'm going to be honest with you. This is the reason why this has been pushed into our community.
I see you, Denver, but I want Brother Fortune to finish his comment. Go ahead.
Now, as far as these preachers, all right, these preachers, these Elons, these rabbis, or whomever else you want to bring up, all right, there's a part. A lot of these people run as nonprofits, okay? So, therefore, the government is giving them certain tax cuts and certain tax breaks. We all know this, all right? We're not doing this for money. We're not doing this because the government has their hand in our pocket or we got our hand in the government pocket. We have to understand what I was getting back to in the very beginning. We have release valves. Okay, ever since we were in slavery, all right, they've had preachers and reverends which they set up in order to stop the revolution from going on. Now, I'm not saying all preachers and all reverends or all these religious people are following along that too. But whenever you sign up for a 503C, which is the nonprofit, and me and Brother Balin were talking about this earlier, okay? There is a fusion of state or government and church. So now they have an incentive for turning down the fire in order for them to survive and put more money in their pocket. Look at these mega churches. And this is another thing I want you to reconsider and really think about. All right, even in the black community, every other corner, you see a church. Okay, and in the corners between, you have your liquor store. All right, and behind the church, behind the liquor store, and all the way down the street, behind all these churches, are drugs and prostitution running rampant. If that was the solution. If the church was the solution and not adding to the problem. Like I said, when I say church, I'm talking about all the religions put together. Do you think that we would that our people and our community would be taking a nosedive the way that it is? There's more churches now today than there was when I was a child. And where are we going? We're going deeper in the ground. These are all the things that we need to consider. All right, and like I said, when you're talking to me, when you're talking to Brother Daylen, when you're talking to Brother Joseph, all right, we don't have our pockets pulled wide open for somebody to put money in it. We are doing this for the Most High. We're doing this because it's the right thing to do.
Well, listen,
we're
now, hold on, Brother Fortune.
Now, let me say this, because I, some kind of way I think y'all are hearing something I'm not saying. I don't know how to say this, but it almost sounds like you think I'm not doing it. Well, I mean, how can I say this? I want another episode. It's almost like you're trying to defend y'all's stance and say we're working for the Most High. I know you're working for the Most High.
Right.
I'm just saying, so am I. I just
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make something very clear. I'm not directing this to you. I understand that you're playing the other side. You know me, we've talked plenty of time. Okay? I think you're playing the other side, and that's fine. So you can maybe let other people know where we're coming from. I don't believe that you believe personally that we're in it for a profit. So I want to make that very clear. So I'm not directly,
I see what you're saying. You're just saying to the people that y'all are serious and you're doing it for
right.
the Most High. You're not necessarily
right.
directing at me. Okay. Let me do this. I appreciate
yeah.
that clarity. But let me say this.
Can I say this real quick? He has a way of talking to the spirit inside us, because a lot of times we be having our private conversations and I be feeling like he's talking to me. So just
right.
analyze that. Just
yeah,
you know,
I'm
we ain't gonna discuss
soul,
that.
I'm talking to your soul.
He has a way of doing that,
I'm
and I'll be jumping at him too. Like, what you mean, man? You ain't
right.
But
and
if,
I'm
that,
sure,
if you
I'm
feeling
sure
that,
callers,
if he jumped your spirit,
I'm sure
the got
the feeling what I'm saying. I'm sure that they may think that I'm coming off a little rough. Everything that I do out of love. I do out of love for
yeah.
all my people. I'm not just talking about these black folks.
I think that the people feel what you're saying. That's basically that you guys are sold out to the Most High. You're doing what it's called you to do, and you feel like you would die.
I want y'all to go ahead and
finish your comment.
Okay, what I'm saying is that by me coming on your show, by me making my noise, by me being a part of the Hebrew Council, like I said, this is an international group, okay, I'm already on their radar. I already know this. And the only profit that I'm getting out of this, all right, is making others aware. That is the only thing that I'm getting out of it. And I feel that it's brothers like me, like you, all these brothers that's online right now, the brothers that are your guests, all right, they're doing it for the same reason. They're doing it out of the love of the Most High. They're doing it because we're trying to get the spirit of the Most High, all right, to be on our side, all right, to wipe away all this evilness, all right. So it's not, when I say the church, like I said, I'm not talking about every single imam out here. I'm not talking about every single rabbi. I'm not talking about every single minister. I'm talking in generality, because what's happening right now, all right, a lot of, let's look at Bishop Eddie Long. He went through all that, all right. He did something which is, as far as I'm concerned, unthinkable. And then you have Creflo Dollar after he goes through all this stuff. All right, and you can look this up for yourself. You can actually see Creflo Dollar trying to pull people back into the pew for Eddie Long.
Brother Fortune, let me just say this
yes.
because I think I got a question online. This brother here, I mean, I don't mind people asking questions several times.
Definitely not.
But most of the people, we got a lot of people on the line. Actually, hold on a second. I think the... Now, several people online haven't asked questions. I almost feel like open up the line and ask them to jump in, too. But they didn't press one, so we're going to go to those that keep asking questions. The Texas lady has a question. But before she do, in all due respect to the Denver brother, he did have a question up. And Detroit, if you do not have a question, please press one, because you've had your hand up, look like, for since you called. And I don't think you mean that. So press one if you do not have a question.
And if you do have a question, still press 1 and then wait a while, about 3 minutes, and press it again. That way I'll know you really have a question. So, again, if you don't have a question, press 1 and that be done with. If you do have a question, press 1, wait about 3 minutes, and then press it again. Then we're going to come to you. Please make it quick because I want to hear from these brothers. We've got about 12 minutes left. Okay, so go ahead and make your comment, please.
So I've been listening for a while and a lot of thought-provoking stuff, so I'll try and be fast. But when I first called up, you sort of, you know, gave an apology or pre-apology or something, saying that, you know, you weren't prejudging or anything like that. But obviously, you knew from my dialect and the way I spoke or whatever, for whatever reason, you assumed I was white. You're correct. But, you know, no need to apologize because, you know, I know that I was raised to not like you guys, right? I mean, and I was blessed enough to have parents that that were willing to change their thoughts and stuff. And I ended up marrying somebody who was, you know, not black, but a colored person. And so, you know, going through this journey and stuff, we're all lied to, constantly pitted against one another and stuff. And at the end of the day, I think that we have to realize that most of what we're taught are lies, in fact, and we have to break through that. But going to the, you know, having your computers tampered with and all that stuff, I ran for public office, and I didn't run as a Democrat or Republican. I ran as a Libertarian, and they dragged my family and me through the mud. You know, I received 8% of the vote, which is laughable, but at the same time, that's a lot for somebody who's not running under a major party. You know, it's difficult to get that. And they messed with me, and I even had run-ins with law enforcement and stuff in the process. So, you know, I know what it's like to stand up against the system. But what you were talking about as far as Barack Obama not wanting to risk his life or his family or anything, I would say this, is that as a white man, my odds of reaching presidency are somewhere in the, you know, fractions of a percent. You know, you don't get a chance. And then the odds of a black man reaching, you know, the office of president are even, you know, tinier than that, you know, for a regular citizen. So maybe he's not willing to lay down his life for his children or future generations to experience something called freedom or success or prosperity. But if he's not, he should step aside because there's plenty of white, black, Hispanic, Asian men that are willing to do so. And I would say that that's the real crime, is you're taking up space when someone else is willing to lay down their life. And I would do it, not necessarily for whites, but for any color, to experience real freedom that we haven't actually had a chance to experience or taste yet. And so if you're, I think it's a bigger crime to take up that space if you're not willing to make the sacrifice because somebody has to make it. And it gets harder and harder for you to be effective and make that sacrifice. So if you're not willing to lay down your life, like President Obama or anybody else, then move aside for someone who is.
Well, let me say this. In all honesty, I mean, these brothers, they're sharing, and they feel like you might be right, but I don't know that yet. I told you I'm going to research it. I don't know that President Obama isn't willing to do that. I just think about it. This man walking around, I don't care what the secret society try to do with their little old security this and security that. This man is walking out in the open. Remember the person that made it to the White House party didn't have a proper invitation? The guy could have been a terrorist. And I mean terrorist as in killing him. I shouldn't use the word terrorist because I think the United States is the biggest terrorist in the world. But anyway, I mean, this man is really not protected. I mean, like, God is protecting him. He's a regular man. But President Barack Obama could be destroyed any time.
By who, though?
Hold on. I think by somebody that don't know the truth. So go to YouTube.
By the enemy.
Hold on.
But you don't
hold
have
on. Hold okay. on. Either
ahead.
One. By the real enemy or by the good people, bad people, indifferent, misguided people want that man dead. Folks that don't even know half the stuff we're talking about today want him dead. Some people want him dead just because he's black. Some people just go in there and blow him just because he's black. Being president, you're already saying you'll die for your country, the way I look at it. The way I look
see,
at
I would,
it.
I,
Hold on, one little statement.
Okay, all right.
Simply taking your family into a hostile environment like that, where you got white people protecting you, and you don't even know who they are. You don't know if the person working the security detail is one of your fans or not. That's suicidal right there. I don't want the job. I don't want to die for liberty and justice. I don't want it, period. And I definitely, and even though I love you, my brother, I don't even know you, but I wouldn't hurt a hair on your head. I ain't about to go die for you and your family. I'm just not. But if I saw your family was, your house was burning, you was my neighbor, I would rush you over there and try to put the fire out and all this. But, I mean, you might say, well, you just wouldn't make a good fireman. But I just value my life and my people's life. I'm going to try my best to help you and make sure nothing comes your way. But I'm not about to go put my family in the White House and be subject to all the stuff those people are subject to. And they don't really appreciate it. Black folks don't appreciate it. White people, some of them appreciate it. But the ones that put them in office, it's like they done turned against them. So you hear of three black guys tonight on the show. Three of them are against him. I'm for him. You calling in, and it sounds like you are with them. See what I mean? I would not put myself in a situation like that. And I love these brothers, and I love you, but I tell you, I would not die for y'all. That's just how I feel. And you about to say, that's selfish. But I bet
I'm not saying that's selfish. I wouldn't say it's selfish at all. You know, that's human instinct. But what I would say is that, you know, if you're not willing to die, then don't take up the space. Let somebody who is willing to die for the greater good or for the freedom of humanity. I mean, you have to realize that, you know, he came out in office, made a lot of promises, hasn't kept any of them. And, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, well, this guy's a white guy and he supported Bush. I hated Bush. I've hated every president I've experienced in my lifetime because I see what they do. They fund the military-industrial complex. They fund the prison complex. All they do is they're slaveholders, you know, that all of them are. And all they do is sit there and write the paper. This whole debt argument is really quite fascinating because everybody wants you scared of the debt. But all you're doing with the debt is it's unlegitimized debt. We don't have transparency in government. They can't prove where the money was spent. We have no accountability anymore. So therefore, what they're saying is be afraid of the debt, acknowledge the debt, sign the debt. And all that signing the debt, acknowledging the debt, and taking responsibility for it is you're just initialing and signing your slave paper saying, yes, this is correct. I owe this money. And not even you. It's your children and grandchildren. So they're asking you to sell your children into slavery, all of us asking them, you know, us this. And then we sit here and we look, oh, well, he's better than the rest. And it's like, no, you know, none of them are better than the rest because a slave master is a slave master. And they have Democrats and Republicans fighting over, well, this master beats us less. This master steals from us less. This master rapes us less. And it's a ridiculous argument because, you know, stealing, beating, raping, it's all a crime against humanity. So when we look at Barack Obama, we should hold him at least to his word as his own standard. If you say you're going to do something, you should do it. He didn't stop Guantanamo. He hasn't ended the wars. He hasn't done anything he promised. And we're worse off than we were before. And we're worse off, you know, every single president is the worst president we've ever had. You know, they get one is worse than the one before.
Let me say this, and all due respect to Obama, again, I'm going to say this until I do the research, and then I got to move on to these other books. We got like 3 minutes and 42 seconds, and this thing is going to cut us off, so I got to see what they're going to say. So I'm just going to go ahead and thank you. Please call on next week. Will you promise me you call next week, Mr.
I appreciate you taking my call, and I appreciate you giving me a fair platform. I appreciate that. But I'd love to hear other people's reaction. Yeah, go ahead.
My reaction to caller is this. Caller, I appreciate everything that you said, and I do agree with you. I think that we have bigger issues because we're all being oppressed. You're absolutely right. I make no excuses for what I've said. But I also think that blacks and whites, we have some issues that we need to deal with. And I'm not talking about on a violent level, but we have to deal with some issues. But right now we have a bigger
thing that we have to deal with, and that's with all of us being oppressed. But, you know, there are certain deeds. All deeds that we do have to be answered for. And European and white folks have been, for a long time, as a whole, have been benefiting off of stepping on us. All right? So those are things that are going to be dealt with also. And like I said, I'm not speaking about bloodshed, and I appreciate your comment. You're absolutely right. But
yeah, okay,
everything's going to have to be dealt with.
And
this is
so
right.
Fortune is so right. Go ahead, Baylen. You got about a minute.
This is Bark Solutions. My show is 6 o'clock every Sunday on Blog Talk Radio. I have Bark Solutions to wake up. Check me out. I would love to talk to you guys and have this forum. My show is about opening up your mind to what's going on to where you thought and thinking. My new show is The Light of Day. Go ahead.
Brother, I just can hear y'all. Either one of y'all, I can listen to Fortune 500 all night. I've never known a brother had it in him like that. Baylen, you dropped some bomb. Now, Joseph has been the most quietest one, but he don't have to say nothing because he done blasted the airways for the last 4 weeks, and everybody know what he's got inside of him. So I'm just so thankful for y'all. I'm going to let Joseph have the last few words, and then I guess I'll close out. But I just want you to know that the brother in Denver, I really hope he follow the show and follow your show because I like that brother. I like that brother. I really do. With people like that, I want around me. Brother Joseph Johnson, please give me a minute. What do you have to say in like 45 seconds?
Well, I'm just ready to be responsible for my own self, and I'm waiting for the great purification. Get rid of all the evil parasites. Kill it all.
You know what? It's a shame. Your words you just don't have no... Brother, you got to be a prophet because you don't have no mercy. It's like, just drop the boom. Listen. I just want to say again, thanks, everybody. We got 14 seconds. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Y'all, please, you know, Saturday I'll be doing another show. So let's hook up then. We got 1 second.
Check
thank you,
face.
Everybody. Good night. Good night. We got
check
1 second.
Face.